about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
How did we end up here? This place is horrible. Smells like balls.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
So, 25 years ago today, my buddy Dave told me this info that is escaping me. I can't remember right now. So, just bear with me while I try to fill time.
We've been on a lot of adventures together, but it seems like you haven't learned anything.
Man, you think the quality would dip after 5,500 shows? But duh!
Well, the FCC isn't laughing.
And now...
Man, F you guys. F you, double F you, triple F you, and there isn't an F you in the world big enough for you, beer mug. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 13th of Rocktober.
Wow. Nice. Starting off on Monday...
Or Motortober, which I have trouble saying all the time. Have you heard that commercial?
No.
I have heard Motortober. That's the follow-up to September, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did Muggs have the Rocktober sounder there?
He did.
Or? Wow.
He did.
Pretty impressive.
How about that?
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
What's going on?
Not much. They're great.
I don't even get the joy of asking how they are anymore.
That's kind of the point.
Yeah.
Shut you down.
I know Lisa and I are the only people in the world watching Manhattan anymore. But
yes.
How great has it been, Lisa?
Such a good show.
So good. Don't you just hate it when there's a show that's out there that you know people would like, but they're not hip to it. They're just not. They're missing out.
Yeah, and I'm concerned because I want it to come back.
Yes.
And if other people aren't watching it, then that's in doubt.
Kevin, have you tried Manhattan at all?
Yeah, it's really good.
So now you've never even
1 minute, have
never
you?
Heard of it until this moment.
I've not started it. No, I have. I think I've TiVo'd all of the episodes.
Well, you're not going to watch. I don't know. There is
probably not being. You're right.
Eight or nine episodes in now.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm not. Gonna
yeah, watch. But I do that too. I tape a show and then I go, well, I'm going to get to it. No, I'm not. So it's just it's good, people. I'm just saying it's good. You should watch it. All right, let's get started on this Monday with this story. Everybody loves to travel, and sometimes you like to bring back a souvenir from where you visited. Daniela Liverani, who is a very attractive 24-year-old British blonde lady, was surprised by something that she brought back from her backpacking travels in Vietnam. She was in Vietnam, and she started suffering persistent nosebleeds, and she thought that maybe it was a burst blood vessel or something.
Right.
She had had a motorcycle accident or a motorbike accident while she was there, and she thought maybe she had damaged her nose and she was starting to have nosebleeds and whatnot. So days later, after she returned home, she spotted something poking out from her right nostril.
What?
And thought it was just a blood clot. But last week, she found out that was not the case, as she ended up in the emergency room, where she discovered that a leech had been living in her nose for a month. Yes?
That's gross.
After I got home, by the way, it is the size, it's the length of her finger and about the same width as a finger, maybe even a little more,
oh,
too.
Oh, my God.
It's a big-time leech. She said, after I got home, the nosebleeds sort of stopped, but then I started seeing something sticking out of my nostril. I just thought maybe it was congealed blood from the nosebleeds. She said, I saw him so many times, but I just sniffed him back up. I tried to
blow.
This is killing me.
I tried to blow him out and grab him, but I couldn't get a grip on him before he retreated back in my nose. One time when I was in the shower, he came right out as far as my bottom lip, and I could see him sticking out the bottom of my nose.
Gross.
After that, I got out of the shower to look really closely in the mirror, and I saw ridges on him. That's when I realized he was an animal. So that whole time, she just thought it was a blood clot? You'd think that she would think that she could, you know, blow that blood clot out if she tried hard enough.
Yes. Did she go in a river or something?
Yes.
Does it say?
Yes, that's exactly where she was. She was in a river. She was whisked into a treatment room in emergency where a nurse and a doctor examined her nose using a torch, forceps, and tweezers. The staff were horrified. The doctor used a nose forceps to pry my nostril open really wide. It was agony.
I'm sorry, did you say torch?
Yes.
How do you use a torch?
On somebody's nose?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. The nurse pinned me down to the bed. Whenever the doctor grabbed him, I could feel tugging at the inside of my nose. So I guess the leech is trying to, you know,
back himself
up against the wall so he doesn't get pulled out. Then all of a sudden, after about a half an hour, the pain stopped, and the doctor had the leech in the tweezers. He was about as long as my forefinger, but as fat as my thumb. He could move so fast as well, which kind of freaked me out. I have no idea how he got up there, but he's gotten bigger and bigger from feeding on my blood.
That's so gross.
Don't ever tell anyone that on a date.
He had been curled up in a big ball using my nostril as a little nest. At one point, I could feel him up at my eyebrow. We're almost done. Hang on, you people.
Please.
I asked the doctor what would have happened if I hadn't gone to hospital, and she said he'd probably have worked his way into my brain.
Oh, jeez.
So
just that? Only that?
Could have gotten worse, I guess. But there's some blessed relief when you realize that you no longer have a creature living inside your skull, right?
I guess, but you also at the same time realize that you've had a creature living in your nose for a month.
Yeah.
And but a lot of signs.
Yeah.
By the way.
She saw him a bunch of times, yeah. But ultimately, probably, no damage, no harm, no foul, right? Except you've got a great party story.
I don't think that's a great party story. Yeah.
That's why you don't get invited to parties.
Maybe so. I should send you guys this picture of the leech, though. I think you'd enjoy it.
Nope.
I'd like the picture of it half out of her nose. Just
yeah, I wish I had that. Like. I've just got it in a tube here, but it's pretty spectacular.
And the look on her face is like, whoa.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
How is this still a thing?
That's a good question.
Speaking of which, it's Columbus Day.
Yes, it is.
Woohoo! Happy. How do you celebrate Columbus Day?
You kill an Indian.
Okay. All right, good. We also have you been tear gassed on the program today. I want to get your stories because.
Or have you had a leech in your nose?
We'll take
your choice.
Oof. I'm not sure I can take that phone topic.
By the way, anyone who's ever ridden a motorcycle, lots of people who've ridden a bicycle have ended up with a fly in their mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or ear or eye.
Yeah, but for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, not a month.
We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Okay.
About the celebrities over the weekend. We're going to talk to Chris Hardwick. About The Walking Dead.
All right. I may have to leave the room. I got
you haven't seen it?
Early this morning, and I watched half. Oh, my God.
Where?
Did I leave off?
Yeah.
I left off where Carol... Spoiler alert, if you haven't heard, turn this down for a sec. Where Carol had blended in, when it's in the compound.
Right.
And she was going in looking to rescue the others.
And had just been caught inside that container.
Ah,
that's
okay.
Where I am.
So you didn't see Glenn go down? You see him die?
What?
No.
That
didn't happen.
I saw them let that crazy guy out of that one place.
Yeah, that crazy guy was let out of that one place.
I saw that. And then that's about where I stopped. Out of one of those containers.
We're going to talk to Chris Hardwick, so I'm not sure exactly what you're going to do. But
well, I may just leave the room.
Just leave the room?
Yeah.
All right. We have some new Halloween songs. We've been asking you to come up with some originals. Yep. Very excited about that. And Andrew Siciliano will be here.
Nope.
What?
He won't be here?
We don't talk about stupid football anymore.
Oh, Beans.
Football
stupid. Can't get wings.
Nobody likes football.
Well, I do.
Yeah, you do, I hear.
I'm a football fan.
Yes.
And
Ralph. Right?
Ralph, yeah.
Yeah.
And Allie McKay, who's going to be joining us in a few minutes as well. She likes football, too. But the rest of us do not like football anymore.
Yeah. Well, you're doing it wrong. You start your good quarterback each week.
You just start a guy from the stands.
Just anyone. It's just important that they be different and not understand the system.
Right. That's the key to winning.
That's the key to our success. All right. We're going to take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That's next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
There is some good news, Kevin. Our listeners have alerted us to the fact that it wasn't a torch like we were thinking about with fire. It's really just a flashlight.
Oh, in Britain they call a flashlight a torch.
A torch, which makes us feel a little bit better about the doctors trying to get up there to find the leech in the woman's nose. Lourdes writes in and wants to know, though, and this is a great question that I hadn't thought about, is would you keep it? And I got to think that it would be an awesome pet to keep your leech, right?
That's absurdly ridiculous.
You just feed it a little blood every day?
Yeah, how would that work? Would you have to then be a cutter in order to feed your pet?
God.
Might be more complicated than it's worth.
Yeah, I think that may not be worth it.
Ralph Garman used to work on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now apparently he lives in New York. But frankly, I don't mind that much because look who's sitting in his chair. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Allie McKay. It's the return of the Mac.
Thank you so much.
What's going on, Allie?
Thank you. Seriously, where is Ralph Garman? This is ridiculous.
We don't know at this point. Oh. I'm concerned he's not coming back.
And the Garmy, good Lord with them.
Yeah.
Are they giving you a hard time about filling in for their
voice? Yes. Gosh. I'm like, I get it. He's great. We all love him. Stand down, Garmy. Stand down.
He'll be here tomorrow.
Oh,
we're being told.
God.
We're being told as of now.
So I'll expect a call later today. Yep. Okay. Good stuff.
Now it works.
Well, you guys, there is not a ton of amazing entertainment news from over the weekend, but I would
like
to.
Okay, thanks for stopping by.
All right, thanks. Bye. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? But I do have an update. Remember when the president of the United States was in last week, causing all sorts of traffic problems because he was at his good friend Gwyneth Paltrow's house doing a little shindig, if you will, fundraiser. Well, apparently, according to reports, Gwyneth is not great at hosting events.
Really?
And
but
Gwyneth,
she has a goop.
You would think her years of goop, her big rivalry
she'd
now with Martha Stewart, she'd be an amazing hostess. No, no. She cracked under pressure.
Sweet. What happened?
She was yelling at the staff. She was, quote, extremely unpleasant, as opposed to.
Love it.
She had them set up the tables, came back, and screamed at them for setting them up incorrectly. She then began drinking wine at 10 a.m. and chain-smoking cigarettes all day.
All right.
I love her so much now.
Bitch got no class.
Wow. That might be true. That
Wouldn't
might be true.
Would you think that you would just be on your best behavior just because of, the president, and B, the caliber of the guest list?
Absolutely.
But
and let's be honest. If you have goop, you should know how to set up a table, and you should be watching to make sure they're setting it up.
Yes.
Not walking away and then coming back to say you're doing it wrong. You should be there, Gwyneth.
But here's my question. Isn't she rich enough that she could just hire somebody to do all of that and then not worry about
people
it?
People who know how to do those things?
Yes. I would think she'd have a whole staff of goopsters.
Huh. A little micromanager. Hmm.
That could be it. But drinking wine at 10 a.m.?
Yeah.
Amen.
It's a good sign.
Good for you.
It's a good sign.
I know my mom when she hosts a party. What? Hey, Chris Martin, Jennifer Lawrence, still going strong. So much so that she flew her mom out to meet him. That's when it's real.
Oh.
And grandma was quoted as saying, "We might have to get another chair for Christmas." What? I don't believe that grandma said that to anyone. But like I said, not a lot of news happening. Not a lot of news.
I have to get another chair.
Right? Does that mean for dinner or do they give out chairs?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm going to follow up on that
for
the next Showbiz Beat.
Do some more research.
Oh, good Lord. Actress Penelope Cruz has been named, right? A lot of dings for that.
Mm-hmm.
She has been named Esquire Magazine's sexiest woman alive for 2014.
Now, that's not a bad choice.
No.
But I am surprised just because where has Penelope Cruz been? She's so off the radar right now.
Well, and shockingly, to add to that, Bean, she said she doesn't feel like the sexiest woman alive. She just feels like a mother who doesn't get enough sleep. Sexy? Yeah, anytime you can talk about your kids and not getting sleep, sign her up for sexiest. Whatever. Scarlett Johansson won twice, including last year, 2013, and 2006. And she just had a baby. Sexy. Good stuff.
Well, if you look like that, someone's going to try to impregnate you. That just comes with the territory.
Often. I'm shocked it took that long.
Now, Penelope is married to Javier Bardem, right?
Yes.
Yes,
oh, that's
going to
be a good-looking kid.
I would let him practice a lot. What? Sexy. That's going to be my catchphrase today. How's it going? I've used it 4 times. Good stuff. Well, Amanda Bynes, this is when I take it down a little.
Yeah.
Just so very, very sad, but hopefully she is now getting the help that she needs. She is on a hold, a 5150 involuntary psychiatric hold. She flew back from New York thinking that she was going to be meeting with lawyers to sue her parents. Instead, she was picked up at LAX and taken to the hospital. So she was brought back under the guise of she was going to finally get her parents and sue them. But luckily, it was arranged that this car was taking her right to Pasadena, where she was going to get the help that she so badly needs. Such a sad, sad story.
It is sad. And I'm sure we'll talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ next hour about this more. But did you guys see that she was accusing her dad of exposing himself in front of her on Twitter? And then, I guess a few hours later, recanted it, said she made the whole thing up. I mean, she's got some weird stuff going on in her head right now.
Yeah, she said that after she had said he abused her and it was both verbal and then all sorts of other stuff, she then recanted it and said her dad put a microchip in her brain. That's what made her said it, make her say it.
Wow, that's rough.
Words? What?
That's rough.
There it is. That's the first one. You missed it, Kevin. Let's move on. Hey, let's talk birthday, shall we?
Okay.
Good Lord. Paul Simon, 73. I love him.
I love him, too.
Tiny little man. Tiny little nugget of goodness.
How about Paul Simon, Kevin? You hate all old music. What about Paul Simon?
I don't care one way or the other.
Really? What about him and Julio down at the schoolyard? You like that?
Nah, not really.
Slip sliding away?
No.
Sammy Hagar, 67, huh?
No.
Nothing. All right. You will love this one.
Okay.
Chris Carter.
Love Chris
Yes.
Carter.
He is 56 years old today. Of course, we love everything that he does. Not sure how this slipped in, Dave. Doc Rivers, L.A. Clippers coach, is 53. That's bizarre.
Don't cover a lot of coaches' birthdays on the show, Dave. That's interesting.
Just none, though, I would say, Bean.
Maybe none. Kate Walsh, babe, redhead. We love her. She is 47. And Sacha Baron Cohen is 43. And I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph, I think, with the Showbiz Beat.
Harvey Levin in the TMZ newsroom in minutes. Next hour, Chris Hardwick, host of The Talking Dead, will be talking about The Walking Dead. That's coming up. First, though, you know, I'm over football after this weekend, Kevin. It's stupid. So that's why I'm happy that you are going to introduce me to my new favorite sport this morning.
Oh, the Premier League of Darts.
Tell me.
This is awesome because they're playing darts.
And it's on TV.
They've got a dartboard and darts. And they have a Premier League. This, to me, just means people in Britain are drunk all the time.
Well, it is a, it is a national pastime. You know, in every pub, there's a dartboard and millions of people play darts. I mean, they do love their darts.
They have a play-by-play announcer for the match. And then they also have the in-stadium announcer. Uh-huh. And they're both just as loud. So you really have trouble discerning between the two because they're both yelling over each other. And the people are going crazy over darts. This is the announcer announcing the top score you can get with three darts. Of course, you all know this. 180. That's the announcer. And that's the in-house announcer. And then this happened.
Treble 20 to double top. Well, this was in the middle of the bed, the first leg.
Now, this is when I turned it on. Okay?
Okay.
Uh-huh. They're saying words. I don't have any idea what they mean. And I'm surprised by that, but they've got their own language.
Treble 20 to double top. Well, this was in the middle of the bed, the first leg.
Oh, it's there again. Under checkout. 11 data.
And
what a start
from Barnabas. What?
That was an 11 darter. That's all I know.
I assume that treble 20 double top means 100 points, right? Because you would throw three triple 20. No, that wouldn't be right.
That'd
be
180,
180 and 40. Wouldn't it be a triple 20 and then a double 20? Double top is probably a double 20. Isn't that what he's meaning to do?
You're asking us.
Why are you asking us?
I'm just trying to work it out in my mind what he could possibly
open up a
mean.
Blog.
I know it's after the bird. I know that.
Phil Taylor, by the way, was the reigning champ, but he is no longer. But check out some of this action.
Look at this. This is amazing. This is incredible. Absolutely incredible. The highest average in the history of the Premier League, 117.35. Philip Taylor against Simon Whitlock in 2012.
Oh, you don't have to tell us. We remember 2012.
I love the in-house announcer. There was like, 180. Like, that's his job.
But I don't understand why we get the in-house just as loud as we get the announcer.
We don't need him.
I know.
It would be like the stadium announcer at Dodger Stadium fighting with Vin Scully for airtime.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, and he's hit six. Perfect dance. Raymond Van Barneveld made history back
in 2006.
Sure.
With the first ever Premier League nine-darter on opening night of 2014.
Yes!
I like how the announcer. I don't know. He threw a bad dart, and the announcers are yelling at poor Barney. Barney, Barney.
It's so funny because the other fringe sports that you hear, you know, this kind of TV coverage for bowling, golf, curling, the audiences are much more subdued.
Oh, they're going crazy.
Do you think that's because everyone in this place is drunk?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and
because you'd have to be to watch darts.
And they do like the Premier League of darts, like the World Championship or whatever. They do in a stadium. And they fill it up.
Oh, my God.
With drunk people.
Bullseye. Bullseye. Double 10. It's a round off. A fabulous performance. Brilliant. Brilliant Barneveld with an average of 108.5.
The people singing.
Blitzes Anderson on the opening night in Liverpool. What a performance.
All right, I want to challenge any of you. Did any of you have that much fun watching sports this weekend?
No.
Nope.
Those people are singing and dancing and chanting and jumping up and down, and they've got signs. It's like it's a real sport, but they're playing darts.
That's amazing.
Michael Van Gogh just loves playing, and why not? He's a 24-year-old with the darting world at his fingertips.
He does have the darting world at his fingertips.
Wow.
That is true. And he's only 24.
Oh, new darts or not, he still doesn't like the lie above the treble bed.
No.
And that's why he's having to go around Charlie chasing trebles all around the board. Treble 17, please, Paul. Middle of the board for a 1-2-1 check and a 2-0 lead.
Ah, oh, he came with the 1-2-1 check and a 2-0 lead.
Hey, did you happen to see in the time that you were watching, Kevin, what the prize money is if you win the Premier League darts?
No, I was fast-forwarding through it, but okay. I stopped at the interesting part.
Worrying times for Phil Taylor and his fans.
Listen to them! Those are my people!
The pressure on Phil Taylor now is immense.
By the way, I'm sure you guys know Phil Taylor's going down. This is the
he's
sort of at the end of his career, and it's very sad.
Treble 18. Well, that is just poor. That's a real poor dart. He will be disgusted with himself.
He's going to hate himself after that dart.
It's like listening to soccer.
Yes.
I mean,
with
all
the excitement and all the singing and chanting, but
yeah.
now it makes me doubt the Premier League fans of soccer. I feel like they'll just show up anywhere.
This is just what they do.
And they sing and dance because they're drunk.
And they drink.
They don't really appreciate any sport because they'll do this for any sport.
And you're thinking, right, come on.
Right.
Just don't throw away with darts. Hit tons, hit 140s, 180s. Don't give your opponent a chance to whitewash me.
Agreed.
But when you're playing MVG, averaging 113.79, look at the loudometer.
There's a loudometer?
That's how they measure the sound.
A loudometer?
What?
Look at the loudometer!
They have a loudometer. They're not even trying. Come on, a loudometer. Well, anyway, check it out. I just tweeted, I think it's the final for 2014. And
hey, spoiler alert.
It's 36 minutes long of that kind of darting talk.
That sounds awesome.
So it's good time.
Monday morning means we go to the TMZ Newsroom Live and talk to our friend Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey, what's going on, dude?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good.
You watched The Walking Dead last night?
You know what? I watched part of it, and then I fell asleep.
Oh,
how could you fall asleep?
You're in The Walking Dead!
Jeez.
Well, that show, I mean.
It looked really good. It's just, I'm tired a lot.
It was great.
Well, it is. Sometimes you're the cattle and sometimes you're the butcher. Just remember that, Harvey.
Hey, so it's the number one show in television?
Yes, it certainly is.
That's amazing.
I mean, 18 to 34 years old, it's number one. It's close to the top. I think Big Bang Theory technically is still number one among all of television. But, yeah, it's considered like the best bang for your buck for advertisers just because it's got all the cool kids are watching it. But
yeah,
you're going to...
It's amazing.
You got to go back and pick up the rest of it, though. Don't sleep on this season. It looks amazing, Harvey. The only thing worse than ending up at Terminix as food is perhaps catching the Ebola. And I was a little bit surprised to see some Ebola coverage even starting to creep onto TMZ. That's not usually the kind of thing you talk about over there. Why the interest?
Oh, we're all about Ebola now.
Sure.
This is a great story. So, you know, NBC has been covering this thing like crazy, obviously. And their lead correspondent is their medical doctor, Nancy Snyderman. And she's been to West Africa. Well, one of the members of their crew got tested positive for Ebola. So her entire crew, including her, they went on this kind of voluntary quarantine, I think for 21 days. Well, people started saying, we're seeing Nancy Snyderman out and about around the Princeton area where she lives. And so there's this place called the Peasant Grill, which is, we're told, one of her favorite restaurants in that area. And there were people who say they saw her in the back seat of her Mercedes late last week with her sunglasses on in a ponytail as somebody ran inside and grabbed some takeout. So all of a sudden, the New Jersey Health Department says, no more voluntary quarantine. It's going to be mandatory. So it sounds like this really happened, that she was out when she shouldn't have been. And so we've been calling NBC saying, what's the deal? And they're saying, no, due to privacy concerns, we can't discuss it. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Why are the privacy concerns if she might have gone out and come in contact even indirectly with people? Because that's the whole point of the quarantine. That's why it was violated.
Absolutely.
And they're just locked up tight as a drum. They're not talking. They're saying their privacy concerns, and it makes no sense. They're covering this, and they're covering, you know, the guy in Texas who died, and they're talking about the lapse and coming in contact and the whole thing. But now it involves them, and they're saying their privacy concerns. It is bizarre.
And by the way, she is a doctor who certainly should take a quarantine seriously. She understands why they're asking her to stay down for 21 days.
Right, and look.
But
NBC
wait. Let me just butt in right there.
Yeah.
She's a doctor. Maybe she knows that the hype is ridiculous, and it's fine if she's out.
That's not the way she's reporting it.
No, but that – well, yeah, okay.
Or she's a doctor, so she thinks she's not going to get it for some reason because she's above it. You know what I mean?
A healthcare worker just got it.
Yeah, that's right. That one of the people who was treating the man in Texas who died now has the Ebola as well. So
what's your next theory?
we're all going to die tonight.
What's your feeling about the actual date? We talk to Dr. Drew every week, Harvey, and he tells us, don't worry about the Ebola. You're not going to catch the Ebola. Nobody's going to catch the Ebola. It's very difficult to catch the Ebola. It's not going to be a thing. What do you feel, Harvey?
How do I know? I mean, I'm not a doctor. I was at a wedding over the weekend, and there's a guy who is a doctor who actually was studying this, and he was saying that the problem and the danger is that it could mutate, and if it mutates, you know, he was telling me there's a possibility it can become an airborne disease.
Yeah,
scares the crap out of me.
We are going to die tonight.
That is the movie 21 Days Later. I mean, that is, and that's The Walking Dead, and it's everything else we've ever seen, where it just goes across the whole world, and the next thing you know, very few of us are alive. I just hope
I'm not trying to make light of it, but can you at least mention one of my favorite movies, Outbreak?
Outbreak, sure. You're in it, right, Harvey?
Sure.
No, I'm not in it. but Rene Russo is awesome. Mm.
All right. Well, we're going to keep an eye on what's happening with the doctor in New Jersey there. Let's talk about one more thing since we have you on, Harvey. And I have a question for you as a guy who's followed this Stephen Collins case very closely. What's going on with him being arrested and or charged?
Well, look, New York has an active investigation going on right now. They told us it involves at least three women who were kids at the time, and those are the allegations. Now, his people think the statute of limitations is run because it's been a while since these things happened, decades. But apparently New York does not believe that, and there's a whole thing, and it's very technical, but, you know, they're investigating it, and I can tell you that at least one of the women we know is absolutely on board, committed to into pursuing this with the police and has told them she will cooperate fully. She wants him prosecuted.
Wow.
So they've got a willing victim. The issue is there enough proof? Now, again, this is one where one of the ones he confessed to on the audio tape. Whether the statute of limitations is run, I can't tell you for sure.
Now, your lead story, the top post at TMZ.com right now, is his wife saying that he was molesting children as recently as 2007, but that's still 7 years ago, and that's the fear. That's the danger here, is that that might be just outside the window that's prosecutable?
This one would not be outside the window if it's true, but he says it's absolutely not true. She's saying, she sent him an email saying, how dare you, used your position on Seventh Heaven to gain the trust of the parents of this kid and molested the kid. He is saying it absolutely did not happen. She's making it up to gain an advantage in the divorce. What's interesting about it is Seventh Heaven ran between 1996 and 2007, so it does bring the window way closer to the present than the other cases.
Wow. And you also reported a couple days ago that they're pulling the reruns off TV in a lot of markets,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know. And a lot of his co-stars are pissed off because they're saying, we didn't do anything wrong.
Right, yeah.
And he hasn't been convicted, and they're upset because it's costing them money.
Wow. All right. Great stuff, as always. If we don't all die of the Ebola, we'll do this again in a week. You can follow Harvey on Twitter, by the way, at Harvey11TMZ, and you should. TMZ airs on Fox Channel 11, TMZ Live at 4 on Fox Channel 11, and the new TMZ Hollywood Sports airs Monday through Friday at 5 our time on the Reels channel. That's Reels with a Z. Harvey, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Nothing but good news for you here. Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman today on the Showbiz Beat, first of all.
Yay.
Huh? Correct?
Oh.
Huh?
Keep going.
Second of all, wait to hear what Allie's going to give away the very first pair of tickets for right now. You guys are going to freak out.
This is exciting. Bean has seen the movie, and now you have the chance. A pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of Birdman tomorrow.
Yay!
Oh, yes. Cheer, children, as you will. Tomorrow at the Arclight in Hollywood, of course, starring Michael Keaton, Zach Galifianakis, Edward Norton. Do you want to tell what the movie is about, Bean?
I mean, the short version of the story is Michael Keaton played a Batman-like character named Birdman years ago, but hated doing those big Hollywood comic book movies, so decided he's going to reinvent his career by putting on a stage play. And it's all of the drama that goes along with that, and all of the, hey, you're washed up and nobody cares about you anymore, but he just is committed to it. And Edward Norton is, I mean, he's incredible in everything.
Yeah, he's great.
This is one of the best things he's ever done. It's amazing. Amy Ryan is in this. Merritt Weaver is in this. Zach Galifianakis. I mean, this cast is like, it's like we picked the cast, and you'll love it.
I love it. I saw the trailer, and I was sold on Edward Norton in his skivvies.
Yeah.
So go
me too,
see
strangely
it,
enough.
Ladies.
Yeah.
Exactly,
mm-hmm.
Kevin. Callers 20 and 21 right now at 1-800-520-1067. You're going to get your tickets. You're going to see it tomorrow at the Arclight. Also, where Kevin
took his amazing photo
that we all love so much.
Thanks for bringing that back up.
Not a problem. You guys know Snapchat, right?
Yeah.
Yep, you
sure.
Take the picture, it goes away.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. Especially with screen cap. It's so easy to take.
Wait, this is really, really bad news for me. What do you guys say?
Well, here we go right now. Snapchat is distancing itself from, something like the biggest breach ever, where they are blaming now a third-party app used to save the people's pictures, really aren't disappearing at all. They are being saved, something called snapsave.com. It's a service that now is defunct as of this whole thing happening. Doesn't exist anymore, obviously, because they're going to get sued. But basically, instead of using it on your phone, you could log on your home computer and do the pictures there. But that was supposedly their way of getting your passwords and all that.
And Snapchat says, look, we've been telling you all along to not use any third-party applications with our service because we will protect them. They won't. And it turns out that they were right.
But let's be honest. It's all so I could say this. It's called the snappening.
Yes. Oh, I like it.
It's just good.
Yes.
But here's the thing, too, that you have to consider. So many young kids are doing this. There's got to be some child porn issues, all of that are going to come out.
Yeah, it's ugly.
It's pretty ugly.
Never, ever, ever, ever believe that stuff goes away.
Yeah, ever.
Doesn't matter what it is.
Ever. Ooh. You Google my name, and it's...
Right.
Please don't. All right, this is probably my favorite thing I have ever heard in my life.
Wow.
You know, you go to eat
out in New York City, you dine al fresco on the patio.
Fresco is without pants, right?
Without a top. Yes, without a top, actually. I actually thought that when I was younger. I'm like, why would you ever want to dine al fresco, Herbs? Oh, goodness. Well, Rose McGowan was doing just that in New York City over the weekend. However, this is when it gets dark.
Funny dark or sad dark?
Amazing dark.
Okay, good.
A man came out of a sewer grate, threw two red smoke bombs onto the patio. Everyone's fine, and the man then disappeared back down the grate.
Oh.
That is like Gotham kind of stuff.
Was he the Penguin?
That what? I believe he was, but that happened.
That happened
you
for
guys,
real?
For real. A guy came out of a sewer grate, threw two red smoke bombs. Everyone freaks out. And then by the time the dust settles, he's back down the grate.
Who is
that's
he?
That's amazing.
That's my favorite story ever.
Now, we don't have any reason to think that Rose McGowan was being targeted or anything. She just was
no,
in the place, wrong time.
No, she was just there, dining.
Right
wow.
place,
dining
right time, Bean.
I thought it was out of
top. Oh, I got confused.
What?
For Bean, it was pants.
Pants,
okay.
Yeah.
Tops.
Yeah.
Wow. Something I didn't know about, but you know the play going on Broadway, Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
Yes.
It was, of course, starring Neil Patrick Harris, and then Andrew Rannells took over. Well, now he is leaving. Are you guys aware of who is taking over for him?
No.
I did hear about this, but I forgot.
This is crazy to me. Former Dexter star Michael C. Hall into the role Thursday.
Wow.
But he's Mr. Broadway. I mean, he's done a bunch of stuff before,
he's amazing.
So he'll be great.
I didn't know he sang.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him on Broadway. It's some other play a long time ago.
Missed me.
Where have I been?
Yeah. He was in, he played a transvestite, I think. What
There's
was the
nothing he can't do.
I forget the name of it,
all
but
right.
I'll figure it out.
Snow Patrol?
Yeah.
that's a callback to
that's
last Monday, everybody. I apologize.
I really need to kill somebody.
All right. Take it easy.
Slow down. Wow. All right. Do you guys love the Lego movie?
I heard it was really good.
I did, actually.
I didn't see
Everything
it.
Everything is awesome. It was amazing. Well, of course, now they're going to do a sequel, Lego Batman. And Will Arnett will be the voice. I can't. You guys.
I love Will Arnett.
He's amazing in
everything. And that was the breakout character of the movie.
Lego Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Are they the same people behind this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. All right, good. That was good. I'm in.
All right.
Lego Batman.
Slow down.
Can't wait.
Everything is awesome.
See?
I think that's a great idea, Lego Batman movie.
Anything that Will Arnett does, I'm pretty much in.
Agreed. And he's been in some bad stuff, but he's always good.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and his voice is just so gravelly and creepy and awesome, and I'd love to wake up to it. What? Hey, let's talk about movies, shall we?
Okay.
Because number one again, Gone Girl, 26.8 million, second week in a row. Good job, Ben Affleck. Good job. Number two, Dracula Untold.
Kevin?
Debuted
I
at
saw it.
23.5. Kevin, your thoughts?
Views were dismal.
Yeah, no, I liked it.
Really?
Well, here's the thing.
All right.
Anything having to do with Dracula.
You're in.
I'm in.
Okay.
Just automatically. So going in, you sort of cut it a little slack, and then you hear the reviews that it's terrible, and you go, well, okay, it might not be very good, and I liked it.
Okay.
I was
you
happy
see
with it.
So many movies. That's impressive.
I love going to see movies.
You're a movie goer.
Yes,
excellent. coming in at number three, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. That was their debut, came in at number three. Annabelle, fourth, and fifth was The Judge. No idea.
Didn't see that. Oh, well, that's Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And
Robert Duvall. Robert Duvall. Okay. Come on, pay attention.
I apologize. I really do.
You're filling out on showbiz, for God's sakes.
I am no Ralph Garman,
no,
so I have been told by the Garmy. I just like to say Garmy, because really, people, stand down. Some birthdays for you. Paul Simon, 73. Kevin doesn't care, nor does he care about Sammy Hagar being 67.
Not really.
We all care that Chris Carter is 56. Kate Walsh, 47. Matt Walsh, no relation, but Mike from Veep, very funny comic.
Oh,
he is 50. Billy Bush. Do you love Billy Bush?
I am the opposite. In the opposite camp of that.
Hey.
Yeah.
Well, he is 43, whether you like him or not.
I like Billy Bush
a
lot. I think he's very talented, but it's the style of show he does that we're not fans of.
Got it. The entertainment type shows?
Yeah. They're too
They're really schmaltzy, and they always use that driving EDM music underneath it. I don't know. They're just nonsense.
All right.
They're nonsense.
I hear you loud and clear.
All right.
Okay. Singer Ashanti, she is 34. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, who's back tomorrow for the Showbiz Beat.
Got a new batch of Halloween songs submitted by our listeners to play for you coming up here in a few minutes. Also, Chris Hardwick from The Walking Dead, Talking Dead, joins us later on in the hour, and we'll talk Scream Fest Horror Film Festival. It's that time of year again, just after 8. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, too. That's a lot of shows still to come.
I had what I thought was a brilliant idea on Friday, and no one went for it, and I don't understand that. Because is today a holiday or is today not a holiday?
Lisa, why don't you be the judge of that?
It's kind of a holiday.
Okay, holiday or not, though.
It's government.
What do you mean, kind of?
Government, well, yes.
Some schools are in session.
But most people still have to work on Columbus Day.
Closed.
So my idea was we all just stay home and run a best of. And then if somebody calls and says, hey, what's up? We go, it's Columbus Day. We don't have it off.
It's a holiday.
What a great idea that would have been. Why don't you people listen to me?
I did consider your idea several times over the weekend.
Seriously?
And thought that we shot you down a little too quick.
Because right.
I was thinking about this. Because Mr. Weatherby, our boss, would wake up and he would turn on the radio, like he ever listens to us. But let's assume. He'd turn on K-Rock and he'd go, oh, I guess the guys are off today.
Yeah,
he probably never would have checked, never would have thought about it again. He just would have assumed, oh, I guess they're off Columbus Day.
I went home depressed on Friday because I was so excited about that idea and no one cared. How are these people missing this gold?
Well, we owe you that. We definitely blew it. Columbus Day has been a controversial holiday for many, many years. By the way, it's been celebrated unofficially since 1792 in the United States.
Wow.
So what is that? That's 300 years? 400
That's
years?
When
That's
Columbus
a lot of years.
Sailed the ocean blue, if I remember correctly.
No, 1792. Oh. I'm just thinking about how long ago that was. So we've been celebrating it for a long, long time. And there are a lot of people who are really turning their backs on it. You know, just this year, today, for instance, is not Columbus Day in the city of Seattle or in the city of Minneapolis. They are both celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day. They've decided to chuck Columbus Day. Going the opposite way because they're saying, nope, we're for the victims now, not for the people who came in and killed all the Indians.
But what kind of mayhem is happening when each city can make up their own holiday? Is it a holiday or not? Somebody give us an answer.
Well, Martin Luther King was the same way. There, I think in Arizona they didn't celebrate it until very recently, right?
For a long, long time.
They were the last.
But they were the only one. I mean, it was pretty much, I don't know, I'm just saying we could have got out of work.
Well, John Oliver tackled the issue on his Last Week Tonight show last week on HBO. That's not a complicated sentence. And he asked a pretty reasonable question, which is Columbus Day? How is that still a thing?
Columbus Day. How is this still a thing? America has a lot of solemn holiday traditions, from saluting the quiet dignity of the Irish, to proudly celebrating our birth as a nation, to just spending quality time with family at Thanksgiving.
So proudly celebrating the Irish is people just getting S-faced on St. Patrick's Day and celebrating time with our family on Thanksgiving. That's like the biggest Walmart riot you've ever seen on Black Friday.
Oh
so
God.
The point is, we don't really take a lot of these holidays very seriously for what they're intended to be.
Columbus Day, which brings with it the beloved annual traditions of cheesy local commercials.
In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue to celebrate Mattress Depot.
And Americans turning up to an unexpectedly closed post office and going, oh yeah, it's Columbus Day. This proud holiday commemorates the landing of Christopher Columbus in the Bahamas in 1492, beginning a long tradition of obnoxious white people visiting Caribbean islands and acting like they own the place. In school, American children learn about Christopher Columbus's life.
I will discover a shortcut to India. We'll call this part of India San Salvador.
Of course, what they tend not to learn are the parts of Columbus's life where he kidnapped Native Americans and sold them into slavery, had his men slice them to pieces, and through disease and warfare killed roughly half the population of Haiti. But in fairness, none of that rhymes with in 1492. Nevertheless, Columbus became famous for his discoveries. Specifically, the discovery that you can discover a continent with millions of people already living on it that had also been visited by Vikings around 500 years earlier. In fact, many U.S. states and cities no longer recognize Columbus Day, raising the question, why do the rest of us still do it? Sure, it's a chance for Italians to celebrate their heritage, but there are so many other heroes they could celebrate. Why not Frank Sinatra Day? He killed no Native Americans that we know of.
or Mario Batali. If he's killed anyone, it's through cheese. Or Al Pacino Day, a day that will probably start well and end as an overblown parody of itself.
She got a great ass!
So America's least favorite holiday commemorates a murderous egomaniac whose most famous discovery was a case of getting lost and refusing to ask directions. All of which is enough to make you wonder, Columbus Day, how is this still a thing?
I think you're right, Kevin. You shouldn't be here today.
No, no, no.
Yes.
No, no.
Yes.
No,
yes.
No.
Dude, it's the 13th of October. It's practically Halloween. Now's the time.
Halloween, look. If it were up to me, we wouldn't play that on Halloween.
Those things are going to happen.
Question for you.
Yes.
How are we doing on your diabolical plan this year to find us a replacement for Halloween Spooks?
Well, we are getting songs in. Does that count?
None of them have automatically shot to the top of the charts?
Well, Two Eyeballs, I think, is all of our favorites.
Two Eyeballs is awesome.
Two Eyeballs.
That's my favorite part. That's Kevin B. Listener McCall, who was age 10 at the time that he recorded Two Eyeballs, standing in. We talked to him last week about that, and I think you're right. I think so far that's the one that the kids have fallen in love with.
All right, here's I'm going to play some clips for you now, and I want just to, you know, rule.
It's a new batch since last time, right?
New batch of songs. This is Clyde's Story, and the name of the song is Zombie Stare.
I love that.
Yeah,
that doesn't
sound
bad.
Right?
I love that. I love the music on that. That's terrific.
Mark Strommer, Happy Halloween. This is the guy, Bean. We did this contest in 2002.
Okay.
This is our winner. Tell me if you recognize this song.
And then I saw her there with 10 black snakes for hair. And I began to sing my song.
I've never heard that before in my life, although clearly we played it 12 years ago on this show.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good, yeah.
All right, these are the Casket Creatures and Zombie Werewolves from Outer Space.
This is a zombie werewolves from outer space. They feed on human flesh. They can't be bargained with. They don't need the full moon. Kill machines for a spacecraft tomb.
By the way, this is an unbelievable batch of songs. I would listen to every one of these songs in full length.
Would you listen to Nikki Cat singing This Halloween? And I think celebrating what is our favorite part of it.
I believe we've spoken with Miss Nikki Cat on this show before for one of her other songs before. She's very talented. That's a good one.
What about the inflatable boy clams doing Skeletons?
Two little skeletons dancing on your wall, wearing my paper hat. I wear it for you.
Yeah. I'd say, like, that's probably as much of that song as I need to hear, right?
Are those little kids again?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah. Michael Kalinowski, I Want Brains.
I'm a zombie, zombie. Get away from me. I will eat your brains. I am feeling kind of hungry. The rappers that I face now reside in my tummy. Digested through my stomach. Now I'm f***ing money.
Our listeners are awesome.
And how about Gonzalez Fam with Green Halloween? Leave it to our listeners to come up with a way to get high and celebrate on Halloween.
Feeling good's good enough, cause no scene. Bro, pass that joint on Halloween. You ask me why, I get so high, high. Let's get up on Halloween. Let's get drunk up. How's the scene? Drink some rum and hit that green. Get up and cause a scene.
I'm in.
Really?
You're on that one? I've been on that one too.
On that song?
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it.
Well,
I'm going to go get it.
All
right. That's a keeper right there.
We have one more. It's from Sesha Granados. I'm not positive I'm saying that right. As a matter of fact, I probably am not. You know the Kanye song Mercy?
Sure.
This is Halloween Mercy.
Okay. Jack-o'-lantern spooky. Damn, I'm not so scary. It's the time of year for ghosts and ghouls and black and orange candy. Jack-o'-lantern spooky. Damn, I'm not so scary. It's the time of year for ghosts and ghouls and black and orange candy. Halloween is here and it's the best day. Spiderwebs, creepy decorations, spooky cupcakes. Been working on my costume all year and I can't wait.
Does it sound to you guys like he can hear the music?
No!
Gonna roll deep with my homies, get some candy. Say hey, say hey, don't I make a cute bunny? Been working long nights to get them ears straight. Now we trick-or-treating, the neighborhood is ready. Hershey's, Twizzlers, even some good and plenty's. Cause it's October 31st, and now we're spooky squagging.
Okay.
I appreciate the dedication to craft that he would send us his first take of it.
But you'd like to hear a second or third take?
That was outstanding. Look, we got to get DJ Omar Khan to make a megamix. That's what we need. We need some sort of a Halloween megamix of all these
songs. I like
it. Because they're all great in very tiny doses.
Yes, exactly. And if you have one, feel free to send it to us. We're still trying to find new classics or maybe songs that we just haven't heard before. Mm-hmm. At our website, Facebook, where however you can get a hold of us, email, send it to us at kevinandme.com.
I don't know why I keep trying, but every season when The Walking Dead comes back, I try to talk my wife into watching it with me. And she's like, it's too violent, it's too gory, it's too bloody.
But last night, was it?
So I said, seriously, I know some episodes, there's a moment here or a moment there, but try it one more time. It's probably not going to be that gory. 5 minutes in, she's vomiting. So I don't know that she's on board, but the rest of the world sure is. The Walking Dead returned last night on AMC. And of course, right after that, the very popular Talking Dead show hosted by our good friend, Chris Hardwick, who joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Chris, how are you, man?
Hello, everyone. Good morning.
How good did it feel to hear that theme again and to watch a brand new Walking Dead?
It's so nice because basically the show ends in the spring and then you're like, ah, crap, what am I going to do for 7 months? So I have this emotional loop that's open for the whole summer and part of the fall. So to actually get to come back and last night, our show last night was really fun. Scott Gimple and Nicotero and Conan just crushed.
Conan is hilarious. I want Conan on every week.
I kind of do too. I mean, I would imagine it's probably fun for him not to have the responsibility of piloting a show. He's
right.
To come on and be funny. And he destroyed. He owned it. So
I agree. He was amazing. And yeah. Chris, you do so many things. You have so many projects going, and you're always hosting here and interviewing there. But I sense that you legitimately are a hardcore Walking Dead fan. This is not just another job for you. This is a real passion project for you.
That's true. I mean, I'm too busy to do jobs that I don't like.
Yeah.
So I only work on stuff that I love. And honestly, particularly for the season premiere, the most fun thing is getting to go to the actual premiere because they show it on a big screen at City Walk. So we got to see the premiere episode about a week ago with a giant. I mean, you should watch the show with as many people as you can because the more people that are in your group watching, the better. Last season started off kind of slow because they were trying to make everyone feel comfortable.
Right.
But this season, super
it started
satisfying.
With a bang.
I think it was the best premiere, yeah.
I think it was the best premiere of the whole series. I agree.
Let's do
this first before we...
Spoiler alert.
Before we talk about...
Yeah, if you haven't seen The Walking Dead last night, screw you, first of all.
Spoiler alert.
And by the way, you're the one who broke the news to me that Robin Lord Taylor, who plays the Penguin on Gotham, who, by the way, was just in our studios on Friday morning, he maybe could have given us a heads up. He was one of the guys at the trough last night. That was amazing to me.
Yeah, it was a great callback because he was that hippie Sam guy when Rick releases Carol into the wild and they run across this young couple and then they find out the girl dies and the dude disappeared. You don't see him again. he appears last night, and he's the first one in the trough to get it. And it was such an amazing callback, because if you weren't really paying attention, you could have missed it, because he doesn't say anything the second time.
It's right. I just thought it was Eminem.
It was eight, but he had one shot.
Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, was on set when they were filming that, and he has said in interviews, I think it's out this morning in Entertainment Weekly, that he honestly did not think that AMC would put that scene on television. I mean, it is one of the most violent things that we've ever seen on that cable channel.
Yeah, I guess they just sort of everyone kind of understands what the nature of the show is, and obviously every season they kind of have to up the game.
Right.
So, you know, that's how they do it. And I don't feel that the violence is gratuitous. I mean, it serves the story. And so because it kind of works as that kind of a mechanism, I think that's why it got through.
They were working my emotions like a yo-yo with that bat to Glenn's head. I was like, don't you do that.
I think a photo or something got out of that, of like the guy behind Glenn with the bat, and people on Twitter going, oh no, Glenn gets it.
Right.
Like, okay, Glenn's not going to get it the first episode back. Come on.
I mean, you never know, Chris gets it,
but it's not going to be the first episode back.
This is the voice of Chris Hardwick here on the Kevin DeBeach Show, talking about The Talking Dead, which airs Sunday nights after The Walking Dead on AMC. By the way, do they re-air Talking Dead throughout the week with the reruns of The Walking Dead, Chris?
No, I don't think so. I think if you don't see it when it airs the one time, that's pretty much it. Which
you're
I
gone.
Know is shocking for our I can watch anything whenever I want internet culture. But I think, yeah, Talking Dead, like it, I think it's kind of a one and
I got to tell you, though, I watch The Walking Dead. I love it. And then The Talking Dead comes on. It's like seeing a whole other show that I wasn't aware of, where this guy came from, what that character means. Like a lot of stuff I miss. You have to sort of watch both.
I hope people do. It's kind of therapy, and I think this season the audience is going to need it. I don't know what's happening this season, but we did the panel at New York Comic Con with the cast and the creators, and Kirkman said and Gimple both said this season there are some devastating episodes.
Oof.
So I don't know what that means, but you know, I can't imagine that. I think that means that someone's going to die that you probably don't want to die, but I don't know.
Yeah. We've had a lot of teases like that, like a major character is, you know.
Hey, I'm just glad Judith's okay. My God, with that.
Judith's okay. Yeah, Judith's okay. And Tyrese kind of came back in the episode.
Yeah.
It's just a very satisfying episode. He, you know, he was sort of having this moral quandary of like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe I don't have to kill everything and I have this. There's this baby now to look out for.
I can be a good guy.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about how good the actor who was in the shack with him.
Yep.
Just the simple act of, like, that guy was so amazing. Just the simple act of chewing gum just made him such a dick.
It did. I wanted to punch him right in the face just when he was chewing his gum.
And didn't you wonder where he got the gum?
Yeah.
No. Like, how are they not out of gum
that
yet?
That never occurred to me.
That's a great question, Lisa.
Conan said last night, he was like, you know, this was off air, but your commercial goes, you know, they were in that shack for hours. That surely that gum lost its flavor.
He's probably been chewing it for like 8 months now.
Right. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Tyrese, Chris, because, I mean, ultimately that's what The Walking Dead is about, is who are we when the society around us has collapsed? And they talked about it a lot with Rick wanting to go back to Terminus and finish the job. You know, I mean, what kind of a person are we going to be when society no longer exists? And that's the eternal struggle of the show. And that's what's fascinating. It's not the zombies. The zombies are just the jumping off point to see what
humans are
made of.
Yes, it's basically putting human beings in a hostile environment and seeing how they come out. And that's why they were time hopping in the episode last night with Gareth and Mary to sort of show that, hey, these were just regular people, but this set of circumstances is how they came out of it. And so you really, you know, I mean, obviously we look at Rick and the survivors as the protagonist, but from another group's point of view,
yeah,
they are monsters.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just the way the alignment shifts all the time.
Well, it was an unbelievable episode, and we're so excited about this season. And we haven't gotten the ratings report yet, but I'm sure it was through the roof last night. It was so anticipated. Talking Dead after The Walking Dead, Sunday nights on AMC. And I wanted to ask you just one more thing, Chris, because we haven't talked to you in a while, and that is – you got to put out a book of your selfies, dude. You have been crushing it with these photos. In the last week, Hardwick has posted tweets of him with
George Clooney, Keanu Reeves, Edward Norton, Michael Keaton. I mean, who am I forgetting? What the heck's going on at Comic-Con?
I know. It was New York Comic-Con is a great con, and so I did the Disney panel there, and Clooney and Hugh Laurie and Brad Bird and Damon Lindelof were on that, and then the Birdman. But by the way, Birdman is phenomenal. Like, if Michael Keaton does not get nominated for an Oscar for this movie, it will be a criminal act.
Who has forgotten what an incredible actor he is going to be reminded when that comes out again. This Friday it comes out, Kevin.
This Friday, okay. Awesome.
Yeah, that's an incredible movie. Yeah, I don't know. But now I kind of feel like a jerk just, like, taking selfies all the time. Like, I don't know if it's one of those things that culturally is going to be like Gangnam Style, where it's like you take a couple of selfies. But it's the most convenient way to snap a picture with people, and I just find myself in a lot of situations where I'm around people that I'm completely freaking out over.
Nobody blames you, man.
Yeah, so nobody blames you at all. They're awesome. They really are. And I'm so glad we got a chance to catch up with you again. It has been far too long, and I know how busy you've been and everything, but I'm glad you came on, and welcome back with The Talking Dead. The show's as good as ever. We loved Conan last night, and try to get him back. And let's talk again soon, okay?
Yes, please. I'm in a quick plug for At Midnight, which is on tonight through Thursday at midnight on Comedy.
Absolutely. We never miss it. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Ralph Garman allegedly returns to the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow after a fun-filled week in New York. In the meantime, filling in on the showbiz beat is our good friend Allie McKay, who you used to see every morning on Channel 5 wearing some sort of a furry costume.
It's true.
But here she is today just dressed like a human with the showbiz beat.
I apologize.
Yeah, I need
that.
Some kind of costume.
Yeah, I apologize. They are being dry cleaned.
All right.
You guys, when I was in last Monday, I told you that the Foo Fighters will be doing a week-long residency on the David Letterman Show.
Yes, you did. This week,
it's off tonight.
Yes.
So you did not lie about that.
I did not. Okay. It's shocking. But in anticipation of that, because it's all going along all week, and then Friday, their big movie premieres, Sonic Highways, they have just released an extended trailer for the movie, so you can watch
awesome.
It today. And Dave Grohl has tweeted out that they will be jamming with the Zac Brown Band tonight.
Interesting.
He
loves playing with other musicians.
And that's what they'll be doing all week. Yep. He said to, quote, expect the unexpected.
Now this, Ali, it's not a movie. It's a miniseries. It's an 8-part miniseries on HBO that kicks off this Friday night. And every episode is them writing and recording a new song in a different city with musicians from that city. And I guess Zach Braff would be a surprise.
Yeah, they're going to have all different people, like Gary Clark Jr. There's going to be Dolly Parton. So it's essentially a 8-part love letter to American music. So
yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
We're going to talk to Dave Grohl on Friday. Very excited about that.
Very good.
Yep.
Well, Bean, this is for you.
Tell me.
2014 Billboard Woman of the Year, a woman that has shaped and inspired the music industry with her success, leadership, and innovation over the last 12 months has been announced. No, it is not, but thank you so much. It is going to none other than the Kat, Carrie, and Taylor Swift.
Yay!
No
Woman kids.
Of the Year, Billboard.
No kids.
No way. No way. Mm-hmm. Get real.
Nope.
How dare you?
Totally true. I would love for her to go up on stage
and die
with the cat to collect the award. Oh, she's darling.
She is a crazy cat lady, and I don't know if you saw her on the Graham Norton show where John Cleese was making fun of her cats.
No, but I would have loved to have seen that.
And she did not know how to handle somebody telling her how ugly her cat was. She just didn't know what to say to that.
Wow.
And basically, both of them, John Cleese and Graham Norton, the host, were saying, "You're a crazy cat lady, Taylor. You know, you're going to have 17 cats. You're on the way," and she pretty much is.
Well, listen.
She can't seem to get along with boys. It's just her and her cats at this point.
If John Cleese wanted to make fun of my cat,
you'd take it, right?
I'd let him.
Yeah.
Even if it was a euphemism.
Sure.
Especially if it was a euphemism.
Oh, John Cleese, call me. I love you. Hey, have you guys ever wanted to achieve Kardashian levels of hair fullness?
No.
It is now possible.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either, except that Kylie Jenner
is launching her own line of hair extensions. Why? Why are they going to make more money now? Because people will buy them.
Yeah,
I hate
that's
everyone.
The weird thing. That's the weird thing is that everything they do seems to be successful. How is that possible?
Except their store. That was the one chink in the armor, if that expression is politically correct anymore.
Remember they had a lot of reasons.
They had to close down their store in Las Vegas at the hotel because that wasn't making money. But that's about the only thing they've missed on.
But I feel like it still exists, though, right? In Calabasas and then in another city. Dash, we're talking about, right?
Yeah, isn't it, I don't know, Beverly Hills?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Somewhere in LA.
But if you need hair extensions, now they can.
Kylie Jenner. Speaking of awesome women, Gwyneth Paltrow, of course, hosted the big Obama shindig fundraiser, but apparently she is not the hostess that we all believe she was.
She would like you to believe she is.
Exactly. But I believed it because Goop told me so.
Goop is her website where she tells everybody how to live.
Yes. And really? Do people not know that?
Uh-huh. Well, they don't know where to find $300 t-shirts.
Well, goop.com.
Oh, and the best restaurants in France. You know, stuff like
right,
that.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Stuff that we all need every day.
Daily useful.
Everything is attainable on that website. But she apparently, she cracked under pressure. She was yelling at the people they weren't setting up the tables correctly. And then she began drinking wine at 10 a.m. and chain smoking cigarettes for the remainder of the day.
So by the time Obama got there, she must have been in the bag.
She must have been hammered, which I appreciate. When I throw big fundraisers, I like to be wasted.
She's a bitch.
You think poor Apple and Moses are like, mommy's drinking again?
Go get mommy some juice and they know exactly where to go. I speak from experience. Hey, who doesn't love Bridget Jones's Diary? I hate you. Really?
I did
as well.
You never saw that, I don't think.
You
really?
Didn't?
No.
Really? Renee Zellweger, Colin Firth?
No.
Hugh Grant, really?
No.
It's a rom-com classic.
It absolutely is.
I hate it just for that title.
There is snow involved at the end, and there's a kiss, and he goes to buy a journal.
Well, you've sold me.
Yeah.
Those three things really.
It's the trifecta, really, of rom-com.
It makes me want to watch it.
Well, don't expect Daniel Cleaver, played by Hugh Grant, to be back for the latest installment. That would be Bridget Jones, Mad About the Boy. He said it's an amazing book, it's wonderful, but the final copy of the script, completely different. Do not expect
I read
Daniel
that
Cleaver.
Book.
I read it too. I liked it.
I liked it. It's no Bridget Jones Diary.
It's no Bridget Jones Diary. No, or Edge of Reason.
Yeah.
It's no Hope Floats. I have said that for years. Lisa and I are the only people that loved Hope Floats. But it was amazing.
Yep.
You guys, you want to talk about some birthdays?
Sure. If it'll get us to stop talking about Hope Floats.
It might. Hey, when I do this, who do you think of? Why?
That's Ben Affleck.
No, but close.
Isn't that Ben Affleck in Pearl Harbor?
In Pearl Harbor.
That's a great pull.
It is pretty good.
I was going Nancy Kerrigan after getting shot. I'm sorry. I went far back. But
both.
Nancy Kerrigan, both great. No. 45 years old today. Actress Kate Walsh, 47. Paul Simon, 73. And writer of one of the greatest series ever, X-Files. Chris Carter is 56 years old. I am Allie McKay with your Showbiz Beat.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Monday morning. Ken Marino joins us in studio tomorrow. We love Ken. He's in a new series called Marry Me. Also, Johan from Linkin Park is going to be here. New edition of Lightning Strikes and the return of Ralph Garman. That's all tomorrow. You know, it's Halloween time, Kevin. It's the 13th of October right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that means Halloween spooks. That also means we're giving away tickets, front-of-the-line passes for Not Scary Farm this hour. And it also means the return of Scream Fest L.A. ScreamFestLA.com is the horror film festival that we talk about every year. We're very excited to find out what's new this year with Rachel Bolofsky. She is the founder and festival director. Hi, Rachel. Welcome back.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
They keep letting you put it on every year.
They do. It's nice of them, isn't it?
You started in 2001. How many movies did you show that first year compared to this year, Rachel?
Probably 10. The first year we were a weekend, and then the second year we grew to 4 days, and then third year 10 days, and it's been 10 days ever since.
Wow, 10 days of horror! It's unbelievable that there are that many horror movies being made every single year to fill up your festival.
We watch almost 1,000 movies this year, just getting to our slate.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Hold on. So you're telling me that many new horror movies have been made, or do you go back and screen old ones sometimes?
No, these are all new ones in every shape and size.
Wow. Why are so many people making horror movies?
Well, I think horror films are cool, and I think, you know, there's a big following for them. So I just think it's, everyone wants to, you know, and everyone's trying to be the next Paranormal Activity.
Sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned that because that came out of your festival, right?
It did. We discovered it and then premiered it and took it to CAA, and they repped them, and it did well for them.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. What happens to most of these films? They get shown at the Screamfest Horror Film Festival, and then what usually happens to them? I mean, they try to get picked up. If they don't, are they never seen again, or do people just put them up online, or what's their future?
Most of them do get picked up. Like, our opening night film last year got bought by IFC Midnight, and that's coming out, I think, this week. So most of them do get, there's a few foreign ones that, you know, may go to the VOD or online kind of way.
All right. What can you tell us about this week at Screamfest LA that you are particularly excited about or have real high hopes for?
I have real high hopes for it. Dark Was a Night. This year we have a lot of returning filmmakers, which is kind of awesome. So we have Dark Was a Night, and that's directed by Jack Heller, starring Kevin Durand of The Strain.
Oh,
nice.
We're doing a world premiere of that. We're doing a world premiere of Parlor, starring Robert Lozardo, but that's sold out.
Wow.
Suburban Gothic, which is starring Kat Dennings from Two Broke Girls. And the world premiere of See No Evil 2. It's the same director who did American Mary. I don't know if you guys saw American Mary.
I don't think I did see that one.
It's pretty twisted.
I'm taking a look at your website, by the way, ScreamFestLA.com, and I also see the Grindhouse Screamfest Horror Film Festival. Is that something that goes on within your festival?
Yeah, the guys over at Grindhouse Film Fest in Hollywood Book and Poster, they're going to present Raw Force, and it's on 35 millimeter. So it's an old Grindhouse film.
I love it. How much shock can you stand? Remember, you can only die once. This is old school. Keep telling yourself it's only a picture.
Right.
How tough is it for our listeners who are just hearing about Screamfest LA this year to get in and see a bunch of these movies in the week to come?
They can just go to the website and buy tickets online, except for opening night tomorrow, because we are sold out. But everybody can get tickets online.
And everything is at the TCL Chinese 6 at Hollywood and Highland?
It is.
Wow. All in one place. 10 straight days.
That's awesome.
Of horror movies.
Yeah.
That might be next year's big hit. Who knows?
That's a lot of horror right there. It opens up tomorrow. It goes on through Thursday, October 23rd, again at the TCL Chinese 6 Theaters in Hollywood and Highland. I know a lot of our listeners love the horror movies, and there's so many more than just the four or five major, you know, releases that you see around Halloween every year. So many great new ones to check out. ScreamFestLA.com is where you go. Rachel, continued success. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 23 minutes after 8 o'clock, where we're going to talk all Seahawks all the time.
First of all, football is stupid, and I don't like it, and I don't care about it, and I don't want to talk about it. Hi, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and the Red Zone and Direct TV. How are you doing?
Good morning, guys.
I can't blame
How about
you
them Cowboys?
I can't blame Woo! You for what you tweeted yesterday,
what
which is, I think you said I was
I'm on the bandwagon. I'm on the Cowboy bandwagon.
But now you're on the Cowboys bandwagon.
Hell yeah,
because
baby.
They are for real.
Yep. Give me some Spurs and a hat. Let's go. I got a Stetson at home. Let's do it.
Why? Before we talk about yesterday's...
I'd love to see you in a Cowboy hat.
I have a Stetson at home.
I need you to tweet that.
A real one.
I need you to tweet it.
Before we talk about yesterday's debacle, nobody picked Dallas to go into Seattle and win that game. Before we talk about how they did it, why were so many people so hesitant to believe in the Cowboys? Have we just been burned too many times by Cowboys teams in the past?
8-8, 8-8, 8-8. That's where they've been the last 3 years. 8-8, 8-8, 8-8.
And the hype is always bigger than that on them.
It's always bigger.
Yeah.
Look, if you go to NFL Network, you go to NFL.com. All right. If you look at the numbers here, this is not too much inside baseball stuff. It's actually inside football. But if you look at the numbers, when you talk about the Cowboys, people watch. And that doesn't just go for us. That goes for ESPN. That goes for NBC. That goes for CBS. They're called America's team for a reason. A lot of people in America love to hate them. Or as T.O. once said, you hate to like me.
Right.
I've heard it both ways.
Sure.
But when the Cowboys are on the TV, people watch and people talk.
And they haven't
won
a Super Bowl since what? 90 what?
I believe the 20s.
That is a noticeable thing that you can actually measure.
Of course you can. I mean, ratings. Look at page views on NFL.com or ESPN.com or any other website. Cowboys stories, even the simplest story about a third string guy getting moved from one line to the other or one roster to the other, gets a lot of clicks.
So what's the mystique about? Why do you think they have that? Besides the fact that we grew up watching them on Thanksgiving.
Well,
beyond
that's a
that.
Huge part of it. And yeah. Plus, you call it America's team, and Jerry Jones is a marketing genius. Plus, they were on – look, when they're on the TV in the 70s, it wasn't just Thanksgiving either. There are so many people that grew up over their formative years in the 70s where the only two teams that were on TV nationally consistently were the Cowboys and the Steelers.
Right.
That's why you have so many Cowboys and Steelers fans who have never stepped foot in Dallas and have certainly never stepped foot in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's true.
Nor do they want to.
Nor do they want to. You said it. I didn't. Capital of West Virginia. So they but they still root for those teams.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot. I mean, the Cowboys brought so many weapons into Seattle yesterday. First of all, Tony Romo had a good game. But he has got his support staff, Terrence Williams, that unbelievable catch that he made.
One of the catches of the year.
It was one. I mean, the fact that you could think on your feet, no pun intended, to keep your feet in bounds while you're grabbing a ball like that was unbelievable. DeMarco Murray, an unbelievable game again. Dez Bryant, I mean, the stuff that he was pulling down was incredible. And I didn't even realize what the stats were on what's the kid's name who kicks for them? Dan Bailey. He's the greatest kicker in NFL history, right?
It's a small sample size. He's been around 4 or 5 years. Four years.
But he's over 90%.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
He had hit 30 in a row until he missed one last week.
One he missed last week was like 50. It was a long one, 50 plus, and that would have won the game in regulation and had avoided overtime against Houston, a game in which he eventually won in overtime. But that's why people were shocked when he missed it. Here's the thing about the Cowboys. People expect them to eventually fail because on paper their defense should not be this good. They do not have the parts on defense to maintain what they are doing. But somehow they are. The other thing is DeMarco Murray, who is having the only people that have had 100 yards and a touchdown in 6 consecutive games to open the season, this guy and Jim Brown.
That's it.
That's
just
it.
Those two.
Jim Brown's pretty good at football.
Wow.
He was pretty good at football. So, but right now DeMarco Murray is on pace to break the single season record for the most carries. So he's on pace for like 416, 420 carries.
Doesn't that just say they're a bad passing team?
No, it means that they have found something that works and they are going to use it until you stop it. And no one ever thought they could go into Seattle and do that.
Yeah,
you're
no
not
kidding.
Supposed to do that in Seattle or even at home against Seattle. But if they keep riding DeMarco Murray like this, that car is going to break down. He has never played more than 8 consecutive games in his career without having to sit out because of an injury. And if you keep beating him into the ground, he may make it through this season, but he ain't going to make it through next season. Just historically, if you carry the ball that many times, you are done.
It's just too many hits?
It's basically too many miles on the car. I wouldn't let him drive me to the airport. It's just you can't keep riding him like that. He will break down. I'm not rooting for it. I'm just saying it's never not happened.
Right.
Is that English?
Well, that was the biggest.
It's my English.
To me, that was the biggest surprise of the weekend, but there were others. Let's talk briefly about the Cleveland Browns, who that's their stadium is no longer the Factory of Sadness. They've got a lot to be excited about there.
It's the Factory of Madness. Yeah, they won. Not that they won. That's nice enough.
Uh-huh.
But
they won by a lot?
They won by a lot, and they beat the Steelers by a lot.
Yeah.
The unspeakable hatred that resides in Cleveland for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I can see that.
It is unspeakable. And Ben Roethlisberger had the greatest record, and still may have it statistically, one quarterback against another team, minimum 15 starts in the history of the NFL, 95 years. So he was 18-1 against the Browns as a starter. Now he's 18-2. I mean, he owned them. They passed on him in the draft. He's from Ohio, and he owns them. He has the title in his glove compartment. He owns them. And
they just
beat the Steelers. They kicked their butts up and down the field. So the Browns won the Super Bowl yesterday.
Let's talk one more before the break. And how about the sad New York Giants?
Wow. Where's Ralph?
Yeah, he's going to be back tomorrow.
Is he hungover from the game?
No, he was actually gone last week.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
He'll be back.
Coming back tomorrow. And is he going to be happy. What are the Eagles now? Are they 5-1?
Yes, the Eagles are 5-1 right here.
He's going to be intolerable.
No, they're 4-1. The 4-1, not the 5-1. I don't even. They've only lost once. I know that. That's okay. All that matters.
How many times a year does a team get shut out? Not very often.
We've only had two this year. I think that's the second shutout in the NFL this year. So
that's a rough game when you don't even get a field goal.
Well, listen, the Giants' offense is. All we've done is talk about for the last 3 weeks about how good the Giants' offense has now become. It started off comically bad in the preseason. Week one, week two, bad, bad, bad. But it's now to the point where they're marching up and down the field. The Eagles shut them out. And no one saw that coming. You tell me the Eagles are going to win in their all-black uniforms on a Sunday night on TV, fine, I'll take that. But they're not going to shut the Giants out. Now, right. I don't think the Giants are that good, but the numbers just say you're not going to shut them out. The horrible part of that was, not to talk too much about injuries here, but Victor Cruz, the guy that does the salsa after the touchdown, everyone loves Victor Cruz. He's one of those players that you don't have a bad word to say.
Right.
He blew his knee up yesterday. No contact. It's not like, oh, what a horrible, brutal sport. He got hit, his leg got crunched. No, he's running toward – he's in the end zone. He's
just landed on a
wrong? He's trying to jump up to catch an Eli Manning pass on fourth down. He leaves his feet, and as he leaves his feet on natural grass, his right knee –
ouch.
Patellar. I mean, so it's not one where they could just scope it. I mean,
he's out for the season?
He's out for the year. Ones that may bleed into next season as well. It is a brutal injury. No contact. And he was bawling his eyes out as they took him off on the cart, all 100 yards from one corner to the other corner. It was tough.
That's
to
tough.
Watch.
Yeah. Andrew Siciliano is here. He's the host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network with Jerris this afternoon at 3. And, of course, DirecTV's Red Zone channel. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we have to talk about that awesome, awesome ending, unless you're Chip, of the Packers Dolphins game. And we also have to talk about the third year in a row in the NFL where there's a goddamn tie. And we're going to ask you to explain why that still happens, Andrew, when we return right after this on K-Rock.
Speaking of geniuses, maybe we should talk about the Arizona Cardinals. Huh? Who's with me?
Are they for real, Andrew Siciliano, from the DirecTV Red Zone channel?
I think so. They got the quarterback back yesterday. They still have a defense, which I don't know how they keep doing it, but they're doing it with smoke and mirrors with all those injuries on there. But they're winning. Look, they're supposed to beat the Redskins. The Redskins are not good,
right,
and they're at home.
Look, I'm an Arizona fan.
Yes.
I did not in any way expect them to be 4-1 at this point.
Well, they won 10 games last
year. Wait,
but they won 10 games last year.
But they're rotating quarterbacks. I mean, everything that's happening to them, they're getting massive injuries. Everything seems to add up to they should lose, and then they don't.
It's a testament to Bruce Arians. Is there a cooler coach wearing a Kangol in the NFL?
Probably not.
I mean, that man's all. Have you ever met Bruce?
I have not, no.
All right. He is as cool as he looks.
Strong.
I mean, we're talking a guy in his 60s wearing a Kango. On Friday, they asked him, which quarterback's going to start? Because, remember, Carson Palmer's coming back from that nerve injury.
Started some dude that no one had heard of last week.
They started Drew Stanton last week, but he got knocked out. Logan Thomas, the rookie, came in, who you said, I believe you tweeted, he was at Walmart last week. Is that what you said?
I believe so, yeah.
Nice to the youth of America.
I'm just saying.
They asked, now most coaches, if you ask them, who's going to play? And there's an injury. They're going to keep it close to the vest. They're going to say, well, it's going to be a game-time decision. It's, totally be evasive. He looked at him and said, honest to God, I have no clue.
Wow.
And people believed him.
Yeah.
Because
he meant it.
He's honest.
Yeah.
He's great.
Well, you got Carson
Palmer
coming back. He's not the world's greatest quarterback.
He's getting up there in age.
Yeah.
You'd rather have him than the other options.
I agree.
I sure wish the Seahawks had as good a record as the Cardinals, I'll tell you that.
Look, can we get back to your Seahawks for a second?
No, we can't.
It's not the end of the world.
It is the end of the world.
It's only the second time they've lost at home with Russell Wilson as the quarterback.
This morning when we started, Bean said, we will not discuss the NFL
today. I
mean,
good. Can't you take a loss every now and then?
2 in 5 games is too many.
Are you guys so used to victory that you're spoiled now?
Certainly not. But the expectations were, and part of it was at the beginning of the season, every single analyst said, guys, the Seahawks are better this year than they were last year. Yet they're giving up so many points. I don't understand what's going wrong for them.
Did you notice that last Monday they made a mockery of the Redskins? Now, granted, the game was close down the stretch.
I know, because they had all those touchdowns called back. Right.
And then they have to fly back 2,800, 3,000 miles, whatever.
They should have beaten the Cowboys.
They should have beaten the Cowboys, but Dallas is good.
Hey, let's talk about the game that ended in a tie yesterday.
Yes.
And it shouldn't have ended in a tie because one of them miss like a super easy 35-yarder field goal, 36-yard field goal that would have won the game?
It would have won the game. Okay. No time left on the clock. 4 seconds left in overtime. And so they only play, for those who don't know, they play, that's why you guys are complaining,
yeah,
they play 1 15-minute overtime. And if it's still tied, it's sorry, suckers, it's tied.
But that rarely happens, though that's been the rule.
Very rarely happens.
Rarely happened, but it's happened once in each of the now last three seasons.
Because you only have to get close enough for a field goal. That's all you have to do to win the thing,
well,
right?
The crazy rule now is that the team that gets the ball first, if they kick a field goal, the other team has a chance to match it,
right, but
with
not
a field
if
goal.
They score a touchdown.
If they
what?
Score a
that's
touchdown,
a
then it's over. Remember,
that's
Peyton,
crazy rule.
Hey, come on, you remember this being with
yes,
the Seahawks
just
and the Broncos
ago, yeah,
a couple of
yes,
weeks ago.
Yes,
where I came in here and you guys said Peyton. Well, Peyton wasn't complaining necessarily, but the people in Denver were complaining. It's not fair. Peyton never got the ball.
Right.
Well, if the team that got the ball first in this game had scored a touchdown, it would have never gone
but
like this.
But at least you got look. Complain all you want about whether it was fair that Peyton didn't get to go in, but at least there was a winner in that game.
Sure.
There's no winner in this game. This is worse.
Do you feel cheated?
Why do they do it this way?
They have it. That's how they have it.
But
it's,
why?
It's, I can't have
it.
They used to have ties all the time back in the day.
But you have lots of people on from the NFL. I'm sure this comes up. What is their reason for thinking that a system where you have a tie is better than a system where you have a winner?
See, here's the thing. It almost never comes up because it almost never happens. It's only happened once a year. And there are plenty of seasons in which it doesn't happen once in all 256 regular season games. It simply doesn't happen that often.
But General Motors doesn't say, well, the ignition blew up in that one car, but it doesn't blow up in
right,
most of them, so
but
we're not going to deal with it.
Because
still
nobody
deal with
died
it, it's a
yesterday
problem.
When the ignition blew up. Is that English? Blew up.
Close enough.
Andrew, you're not angry enough about this.
I'm actually not angry. I have no reason to be angry about a tie.
We're talking about the Panthers and Bengals, which tied at 37.
37, which was the most points ever scored total in a tie. They have never.
That's
a random
stat.
Fact for you.
That's a crazy now, amount of points right, to not have a winner, too, though.
Let me give you the scenario here.
All right.
So it's 37-34.
Right.
The Bengals have the lead, and with about 2.5, 3, 4, whatever it was, only a couple of minutes to go in overtime, Carolina, the road team, faces a dilemma. Do you go for it like 4th-and-2, 4th-and-3 in Bengals territory? Maybe it's 4th-and-1. Or do you kick the field goal, tie the game, and know basically now the best you can get is a tie because you're giving the other team the ball, and you're not going to get the ball back with the clock. So either you mm-hmm, stop them or they kick a field goal. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So
yes,
what do
so
you,
what do, you
do? And we all said, I mean, this coach's nickname is Riverboat Ron Rivera. He played it safe, and he took the three, guaranteeing at least a tie on the road. It was 4th-and-1. He's got Cam Newton, who
yeah,
even on a bad leg has yeah, run for 100-some yards, and he chose to play for the tie. To me, that's the befuddling question here. Not why are the rules a tie, is why does this guy decide on the road, we're not going to risk not getting in, and then I have to stand up there in front of my team and say why I wouldn't have taken at least a tie.
So it could have played out a lot different.
Could have played out a lot different.
It should have.
They
all
blew
right,
it. They both blew it. Both teams did.
Let's talk about Chip, who's just openly weeping in the office.
Chip
today.
Kelly or Chip Dolphins fan Chip?
Chip Dolphins fan Chip, who works here on the Kevin and Bean Show, who was 3 seconds away from beating the Green Bay Packers yesterday until a certain quarterback pulled a Marino. That was an amazing last sequence, wasn't it?
All right. So Aaron Rodgers is like the best thing going, period. Sorry. And they gave him time, and he just took a
just took
dagger. Wayne Larrivee, the voice of the Packers, his game-winning call is always there, is the dagger. Well, he just shoved it into the Dolphins. And what you're talking about, pulled the Dan Marino, is many, like 25 years ago, Dan Marino, is it 25 already? Whatever it was. Quite famously, against the Jets, you know, you spike the ball to stop the clock.
And that's what he told everybody he was going to do
right,
on the play.
He faked the spike. I think it was the Jets bought it, and then he threw a touchdown.
Love right, it.
Because they all just stood there. Well, Aaron Rodgers did that yesterday, and he said after the game that so he wants to fake it, but he wants to throw to this kid, Devontae Adams from Fresno, number 17, out to the right. but that he's not going to do it because no one knows he's going to do it, even on his team.
That's what's incredible to me. This wasn't a plan. Uh-huh. This was something that he thought of in the moment and made it happen.
Because he saw the defensive back playing 10 yards off Devontae Adams.
Who had no idea the ball was being thrown to him.
And he kept looking at him and looking at him and looking at him. Please make eye contact. Right. Like, if we make eye contact, you'll get it, right? All he has is look at me. But he's not looking at me. And he's waiting, he's waiting, he's waiting, he's waiting. He's about to take the snap. Look up! I mean, and finally the kid looked up. This kid is a rookie. He's like 22.
Right.
He looked up. He made eye contact. And he figured at that point, I've got him. He's now at least looking at me.
Right.
I haven't conveyed that I'm going to throw it to him.
There's no message
yet. At least he's cognizant of who I am.
Right.
And at that point, he took the snap and he threw it. And Adams didn't know he was getting the ball until the ball's in the air, obviously. And Cortland Finnegan, the DB, is playing 10 yards off him. And so, but at that point, even then, if Finnegan runs up on him and tackles him inbounds, they're out of timeouts. The game's over. So he got out of bounds, and then one play later, they throw the game-winning touchdown.
He catches the ball, he breaks the tackle, and goes out of bounds, which is unbelievably heads-up thinking. For a guy who 5 seconds ago didn't even know the ball was
coming. Didn't even know the ball was coming.
Yeah. And it's amazing.
And that's when Chip cried.
Well, I would cry, too. Yeah. I would cry, too.
It was a fantastic, fantastic weekend of football, Andrew Siciliano. Hey, 49ers Rams tonight.
I'm mildly excited about this game because it is the reunion of the greatest show on turf, the 99 Rams, Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, that great team that won the Super Bowl there. So they're all back in St. Louis this week, and they're going to have a big thing before the game tonight. It is the 700th Monday night game.
In the history
of the franchise. Wow. Not the Rams franchise, but the franchise, the product there. Rams play well on national TV at home, the Thursdays and Sundays, or Mondays, rather. I think they could legitimately beat the Niners in this game. I know that sounds absurd, and many of you need Austin Davis to throw for 375 yards tonight to pull out your fantasy lineup. No names. No names.
Which headphones will Colin Kaepernick be wearing tonight?
He will be wearing, I'm assuming, Bose. So, by the way, the clarification on that, did you guys tell the story last week?
I don't know if we did on the air now,
okay.
But let's talk about
So Bose is the official headphone contractor, whatever, on the sidelines. All the coaches are wearing Bose. Kaepernick is a Beats guy. He does a Beats commercial. He got fined $10,000 last week for wearing Beats. It wasn't because he was wearing them on the field pregame. That is allowed. It's because he went to the postgame podium wearing them.
Oh, really?
I wasn't aware of that. But, guys, headphones are not jewelry. They're there to listen to music.
Yeah. Why do you need, I guess the answer is because he's wearing it as jewelry. Because you don't need headphones to walk from your locker room to the podium. No. You just don't.
Right.
And then Richard Sherman got fined for the same thing this weekend, too.
Yes, he also has a Beats commercial.
With the Beats, yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
He gets paid. So, I'm sure they'll pay for it.
All right, well, we are out of time. Andrew, so great that you squeeze us in with your very busy NFL network schedule. We really do appreciate it. We enjoyed it very much. And you'll be on this afternoon at 3. We'll be watching, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a good one.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
It must smell so pretty in there with Lisa Mae and Allie McKay in studio at the same time.
Yes, we're actually drowning out the testosterone for a change.
Flowers right? And unicorns.
Yeah,
that's right. Filling in for Ralph Garman one more day on the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie.
Good morning, you guys. Let's start off. We all know Billy Eichner, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. We love Billy Eichner.
We love him. We adore him. He accosts people on the street, asks them trivia questions, screams at them. Well, now you can hear Billy doing a Burger King ad.
What?
Listen to this. Yeah.
How much would 10 of these cost from Burger King?
$5.
These are $1.49 for 10.
Ten chicken nuggets for $1.49.
Except here's the thing, that's not Billy.
What?
At all.
What?
It sounds like him. It's exactly what he does.
Yeah, that's his shtick.
That's his shtick, and that's what he is saying. He has said, "Hey, thanks for stealing my act for your new commercial." Except it's not as funny, and everyone knows you stole it.
Wow, that's weird.
Not
yes.
Okay.
They can't get. I mean, I guess their lawyers probably looked at it and said, "Oh, we can get away with this." But doesn't it seem like that shouldn't be allowed?
I don't think it should.
He really is pretty much the only one that had that delivery and that style and everything, right?
Right. But when you heard it, weren't you like, "Oh,
yeah.
There's Billy"?
Uh-huh.
Not Billy.
Hmm.
All right, you guys. New couple alert.
New couple.
New couple alert.
I don't believe it, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
All right.
We'll see what you feel.
Okay.
Two Broke Girls, Kat Dennings.
Yes.
With gorgeous, me? Beautiful, me? Amazing woman.
Am I the other half of this couple?
Shut up.
No.
Can it be me?
It is not you.
Was it Bean?
But it's almost as believable.
Right.
What?
What do you think when I say the words, you raise me up?
Josh Groban. I totally see that. They're both goofballs. Why not?
I don't know. Well, yes, go ahead.
Josh Groban I've seen on Kimmel, and he does have a great sense of humor.
He's charming. Yes. He's very funny.
Yes.
I think he's adorable. But, yeah, this all happened Saturday night at a charity ball here in Hollywood, they were supposedly cozying up to one another.
Mm.
I saw the pictures of them on the red carpet. They look beautiful. They look like friends. They look like people that were at the same charity ball.
Well, a lot of times all the tabloids need is a photo of two people together to have them making sweet love.
I just like the word canoodle. So apparently they were canoodling. And, of course, she was last with Nick Zano. We don't know if they're still together, what happened. And when you think of Josh Groban, you think way back when with January Jones. Haven't really heard any big
names. Yeah, I haven't heard anything new
since.
Of him in a long time.
Yeah. So, hey, let's put it out there. All right. Good times. All right, on to my absolute favorite story, maybe in life.
In life.
Okay. You're dining al fresco, which Bean thought meant pantsless. I thought meant topless as a child, but no, that's very different. You're dining al fresco in New York City, as one does.
Okay.
Let's say you're Rose McGowan.
Uh-huh.
You're eating outside. You're having a great time until someone pops up from a sewage grate, chucks two different red smoke bombs at you guys when you're eating. The place fills with smoke. What the heck happened? Oh my gosh, check around. Everyone okay? The smoke dissipates. This person has gone back down through the sewage grate, never to be seen again.
I love that guy so much.
Like, let's say it's chicken parm. Hey, yum. Oh, my God. All of a sudden, everything is red and smoky. What the heck happened? Oh, my gosh. He came up through
the
sewer grate.
I'm pretty sure he came up through that sewer.
Where'd he go? He was never spotted again.
I hope this is the beginning of many, many bombings like that.
I hope
I shouldn't
so.
Use
well,
the word bombing.
Yes.
Smoke bombing.
Smoke
like
bombing. And the fact that it was red, like, ooh, eerie.
I wonder what he was trying to do. Like, what do you think his message was or his goal was? Is he just trying to be disruptive? Was there a target in mind?
If it's a smoke bomb, there's no target. There's just smoke.
No, but did he do it because his ex-girlfriend is a waitress there? You know, I mean, what's his motivation? Why there? Why now?
Were no purses stolen?
That's just it.
I would think if it was smoky, that's a great... Hey, all of a sudden, wait, where's my watch?
So, in other words, he's got some sort of partner on the outside with a gas mask just waiting for the bomb to go off, and then he just runs in, empties the register while everybody's all confused, and then hits the road.
Makes sense.
That's awesome, except for none of that happens.
None of it happens. However, tonight on Gotham, I think it's amazing, and I like it so much. Also, something I love, Lego, the movie.
Sure.
Would you believe starring Will Arnett as the voice of Lego Batman?
Yes, I would believe that.
Well,
I would like
good,
it.
Because it's happening sometime in 2017. Everything is awesome.
Uh-huh. Everything is cool when you're part of a team.
I love being part of
the team. Everything is awesome.
Especially when that team.
He was a great Batman.
He's incredible at anything. So I will listen to him talk through a Lego character whenever.
Did you say 2017?
I did.
Could you be more specific?
In 2017.
All right.
I can be specific on some birthdays.
Please do.
Paul Simon, 73. Doc Rivers, LA Clippers coach. Thank you. Dave is 53. Kelly Preston, 52. Kate Walsh, 47. And Sacha Baron Cohen, we know and we love him, 43. Back tomorrow, Ralph Garman. I am in for him today, though, on the Showbiz Beat.
Tear gas, right?
Right?
I mean, right?
I'm with you.
Look, there's been a lot of tear gas in the news lately. Last month, it was in Ferguson, Missouri, the race riots after the death of Michael Brown. Tear gas going on big time right now in Hong Kong. That's how they're trying to keep those protests down. All those Hong Kong protesters are getting tear gas right now. And then maybe you saw this story over the weekend. Kevin, you follow the soccer, right?
I do.
The Euro 2016 Group F qualifying match was going on between Hungary and Romania. Apparently, this was a mess. You know how you always talk about how you tune into a baseball game and lots of crazy stuff happens, yep. And you're like, if baseball was like that, I'd watch it all the time. Yeah. People would watch soccer every minute of every day if this happened. There were 12 yellow cards handed out in this soccer game.
Wow.
12. It was a 1-1 tie.
There's maybe one or two per game for those of you that don't watch.
Okay.
Hungary fans, after a goal was disallowed, set fire to their seats. Fans of Romania and Hungary both started fighting in the stands. Police had to be brought in. Additional police had to be brought in to break it up. And police started spraying tear gas in the stadium to calm the crowds.
Oh, my God.
Because nothing calms an angry group of people like being blasted with tear gas.
You ever had that, Bean?
You know, I was trying to think about that. I don't know that I've ever experienced the joy of tear gas. I've seen it on TV guy.
It is fun.
It's a good time.
How does it work, Lisa? You're the smart one. What's tear gas all about?
I have no idea. I've never been tear gassed.
I'll tell you what. I've been tear gassed twice. I'm sure that would surprise you. your eyes start watering immediately, and then you can't breathe. And your throat starts burning, and it feels like your lungs are on fire.
Jeez.
And it's just horrific.
And is the point of tear gas to get you to leave the area? Is that why they hit
I you? Imagine so. I know one time was outside the Democratic National Convention at Staples, and Rage Against the Machine was playing, and they brought the rubber bullets and the tear gas, and they started spreading that everywhere.
Why?
I don't know.
What was going on?
It was a pretty unruly crowd because it was a rage show. But then part of the problem was they wouldn't allow them to turn the music up so that everyone could hear. Mm-hmm. I think that's sort of how it began, how the agitation began.
And people were getting upset about that?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, there was a lot of people down there, but the police decided it was time. And they went in with the rubber bullets and the tear gas and just sent everybody running.
Were the people not staying in the area that they were allowed to be in, maybe, or they were trying to hop a fence or something like that?
I think all of the above. I mean, it was a riot. It was fun.
Here's what Dave says. They turned the power off after Rage Against the Machine. Ozil Motley was playing. Everyone got upset and didn't want to leave.
Oh, I see. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
And what did it feel like for you? By the way, I think it might be fun because I don't think we've ever done this as a phone topic before. I think it would be interesting to hear, especially from our listeners who you know have been involved in tear gas situations.
Oh, absolutely.
Where were you and how was it? Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear about your tear gas experience. All right, so how far away are you, Kevin, from the canisters when they start shooting out
tear gas? I don't know, because once there's general mayhem and they're shooting rubber bullets and they're shooting off tear gas, it's like there's smoke everywhere.
You have no idea.
And you sort of don't know where it's coming from or where to run, which direction to go. You're completely confused and your lungs are on fire and your eyes are, you're crying uncontrollably.
Did you see it coming toward you, or were you surprised by all of a sudden your senses just started
My eyes
out?
Started watering. That was the first thing that I remember. And then the same thing happened, I think, at Rock the Bells, which was Wu-Tang and Rage Against the Machine. And I think Wu-Tang was on.
Yeah.
And the crowd started pushing over barriers. And I was backstage at that show. And they came in with a crop pilot, just came in and just tear gassed the whole crowd. It was everybody there was just a miserable wretch.
So what happened? Did everybody leave?
Well, there was a group of people in the upper lawn that was pushing down on the fence, and they were just about to completely destroy it. I think I got tear gas, sort of secondhand that time.
Yeah.
But I think I didn't get the majority of the tear gas that time.
All right. We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Are we cool with pepper spray, too? I think pepper spray, tear gas, I think both of them are the same, right?
I mean, yeah, I think tear gas is a little stronger, but pepper spray hurts like hell as well.
Tear gas is a chemical weapon that stimulates the corneal nerves in the eyes to cause tears, pain, vomiting, and even blindness. By the way, at what point do you go, I'm not going to any more Rage Against the Machine shows?
It just follows them around.
I've never thought that, but you know that. They're my favorite live band.
No matter how many times you get tear gas, you still go, I'm in. Where are you guys playing next?
Yep.
All right. This is great. The lines are already filling up. Let's start with Danny. He's in Long Beach. He's on line three. We're looking for your tear gas experiences. I don't believe we've ever, ever talked about this before.
What a surprise, right? Danny, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks. You were tear gassed at what? What event?
I was at the free System of a Down show for the release of Toxicity in Hollywood.
And refresh my memory. Something went bad that day. Like the police shut it down, right?
Yeah, it was bad. There was the fire marshals came. There was thousands of people, way more than they could handle, and they ended up shutting it down.
And
people said, okay, that's fine. We'll go to our homes in peace.
System of a Down fans do. And tell me about your personal experience with it. Like, how hard did it hit you, and what were the symptoms for you?
Personally, it was a pretty crazy experience because we had met Serge, the singer for System, earlier in the day, and he had given us friends and family passes, so we were actually in the front. We got all VIP and everything.
Wow.
But, but at the end of it all, people, they couldn't go on because there was too many people, and so people started looting. They started taking their equipment because obviously as a fan, that's what you want to do. You want to take your
Why would you steal your favorite band's equipment?
Yeah, that's a crappy thing to do. How long do the symptoms last after you are tear gassed? Is it something that clears up in a half an hour, or is it something that you're still feeling a couple days later?
Yeah, it was cleared up within a day. I mean, the problem was is that we were just trying to get out of there because we were right up near where the stage was, so the horses with the SWAT gear were coming up, and we were just trying to get out.
That's no good.
Yeah, so we saw a lot of it. But, when it came down to it, it was like hopping fences and just trying to get out of the area, but I still got a little bit of it. It was about a day. It wasn't too bad.
You get a little bit of that, and it burns like hell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was enough to make me tear up for a few hours afterwards and feel like I couldn't breathe, but after that, I was fine, yeah.
Good times. All right, thanks so much for the call. We really appreciate it, Danny. You know, clearly I don't know enough about pepper spraying. I think we need to pepper spray beer mugs so that he can tell me what it's like.
I've been pepper sprayed, actually.
Have you really?
Yes, it was at a 2001 Warped Tour in Anaheim. Some guy got all excited, and his way of celebration was to pull out his keychain pepper spray and start. I swear to God. And I was on the left side of him, and he's like, woo! And it blasted the left side of my face, and then 10 people proceeded to jump him, which was awesome.
What kind of fan?
Oh,
what's going
God.
On?
Idiot.
Woo! Pepper spray, everybody! All right. Tear gas and pepper spray. That's what we're talking about. 1-800-520-1067. Ralph, you hang on. And Fernando and Carla and Chris and everybody else. We'll get to your calls next right after this on K-Rock. We're having some fun now, aren't we? Talking about tear gas and pepper spray. Talking about this soccer match over the weekend between Romania and Hungary. Police sprayed tear gas at fans in the stands. By the way, the fans created a deafening roar throughout the game, letting off flares and firecrackers to the dismay of the onlooking police. Here's a picture I'm looking at of somebody shining a laser pointer into the goalie's eyes of the opposing
team. Yeah, it's crazy in some of those countries, and that's why you see so much of that Say No to Racism from FIFA, because places like that are crazy, and they just go nuts, and they do everything that they shouldn't do, and they fight. I don't even know how you light your seat on fire. How would you do that?
And just imagine.
Why would you do that?
Why?
How is that good for you?
I don't know.
Well, we're taking calls now at 1-800-520-1067. We're just assuming that most of our listeners have been pepper sprayed or tear gassed at one time or another, so we want to hear the stories. Why don't we start with Ralph? He's in Los Angeles. He's on line one. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, Lisa, Kevin Bean.
Hi, Ralph.
How are you?
Yeah, I was at a South Central show, a punk show. They didn't want to stop playing, so they ended up calling the cops. Cops showed up. They still didn't want to stop playing, so they ended up calling the riot squad. They ended up throwing empty 40 bottles at the cops. Cops ended up responding with tear gas and pepper spray and the night batons. Talking about the night batons. Hey, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
Nice. Well played, Ralph. Well played.
And tear gas, that works, right? That does pretty much disperse a crowd.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as it started flying, everyone started scattering like roaches.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough. How long did it last? Do you remember?
What, the effect?
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't sleep throughout the night. I woke up next morning with a nasty throat.
Yeah, it's ugly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is very ugly. It
burns everything that you have.
Wait, yeah, you just said nasty throat and there was no Hey Lisa after that? Ralph, come on, man. You're disappointing me.
I'm going to say something else, though. You know, like,
dropping the ball,
dude.
We're
on there.
No, all right. Thank you for the call, sir. Let's go down to Glendora and speak with our man Jacob. He's on line 5. He's got an interesting perspective on tear gas.
Hey, Jacob.
Hey, how you doing, everybody?
You're good. Thank you. Tear gas.
I'm in the Army, and what we do is we have to do NBC training, where we actually go. We have to light CS in a building, and we have to go in, take our gas mask off, breathe. You know, kind of get used to that, because you know when we go to war, somebody might spray us with that, and we don't want to be incapacitated.
So literally have to train by getting tear gassed on purpose.
Yes.
Wow.
Oof. And how do you like that?
I like it. I think it's fun.
Oh, come on.
To make sure the room is good for the, you know, the soldiers to come in. I can't let them come in there and be weak and they're like, this is garbage. You're wasting my time. I have to test it. So me and my NBC person, my chemical person, we'll sit in there and then, you know, we'll invite other people. We'll turn into a competition so who can stay in there the longest. And we'll just expose ourselves to that. And it gets pretty bad after about 40 seconds to a minute.
I'm super glad.
Eyes are watering. You know, you didn't expect snot to come out of you. It's just nasty.
It's nasty.
Man.
I'm super glad there are people like you in the world because I'm not that person.
I love that they try to stay in the tear gas as long as they can.
What's your personal record, Jacob?
1:12.
Oh, wow. Strong.
Muggs, you can beat that, right?
Yeah, I was throwing up for about 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Muggs can do that. Muggs can do 2 minutes easy. Got to get that set up. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Lewis writes in on the Kevin Bean Facebook page, like Kevin, not only did I get tear gassed at the Rage Against the Machine show at the Democratic National Convention, but I also got shot with a beanbag projectile on my back.
That's right. Ooh. I forgot about the beanbag bullets.
It caused a massive bruise and kept me in bed for about a week. That show had everything.
It really did. It was fun.
All right, let's take one more. How about Carlos in the Woodland Hills? I think he was at your Rock the Bells show with Wu-Tang also.
That's why we called the pepper spray the bells for a long time. Hey, Carlos.
How you doing? Yeah, I got pepper sprayed that day.
Were you one of the people in the upper section pushing the fence?
I was.
Yeah, you're the reason that we got pepper sprayed.
Well, I was getting pushed from the back, so there was no way to go except forward.
Yeah.
And it was right around the time where Wu-Tang was ending.
They were just about to start Rage.
Knew that Rage was about to come up, yep. So everyone just rushed the place. And you're right, it was just a big cloud of pepper spray, just tear gas.
I don't know who, you know, where it came from. I didn't see police doing it. It just all of a sudden was everywhere.
It just happened. And, you know, my eyes didn't get so teary as much as my throat. You know, that splinter kind of cough where you can't get rid of it.
Oh, yeah, that burns like hell.
Did Rage end up playing?
Yeah.
Rage did end up playing, and that was the best concert I've ever been to.
You're just so happy to be alive.
I am.
He is. Thank you for the call. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
My eyes are just watering just from hearing a Rage song, just based on the stories we just heard. Hey, congratulations to Josh Carranza from Hawthorne. He is our latest winner of Not Scary Farm tickets. They are front-of-line passes. We've got them for you all this week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. Please go to KROQ.com for all the details. I'm very sad that this might be the last showbiz beat that Alan McKay does filling in for Ralph Garman. Because he's supposed to come back tomorrow, but hi, Allie.
Wow. That's quite an intro.
I'm sad.
It took a turn, though.
It did,
like,
sort of.
Like, we question if Ralph's coming back.
Well.
What could happen?
If he didn't?
Ebola.
Ebola,
there's
right?
So many things.
Mm-hmm.
So
he
many
is in New York. They do have the Ebola there, I think.
I heard they do. Good times. Hey, I want to give something away, you guys, because I am a giver.
Okay.
And I was told I had to. 3 passes to the K-Rock screening of Birdman.
Yes!
This is, yes, children
the
love
kids
Birdman.
Love it. They really do.
It is tomorrow at the Arclight in Hollywood, of course, in theaters Friday. Wow, it's good. Nailed it. In theaters Friday, October 17th, of course, starring Michael Keaton, Zach Galifianakis and Edward Norton. It's the story, Bean, if you want to tell it, it's redemption for Michael Keaton, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are saying it's so crazy that there are so many comic book movie veterans in this film. Edward Norton was the Hulk, of course.
Michael Keaton used to play Batman, and yet it's a story about an actor who was this character called Birdman back in the day in the movies, and he hated it. He could make so much money if he'd go back and do Birdman 4, but he just won't. He wants to follow his you know, artistic muse and mount a play on Broadway. And it's all about the struggles that go on in making that happen. And Edward Norton and Michael Keaton, it's some of the best work they've ever done in their lives. We know the Kevin and Bean listeners, and we know that they will love this movie.
Fantastic. You said mount. Oh, that's good. First three callers, call in right now, 1-800-520-1067, and you guys can win tickets to see Birdman. Do the sound again, or I am leaving. Birdman. Nailed it.
Wow.
So good.
So good.
All right, you guys, tonight, you're going to see Dave Grohl not only get interviewed by David Letterman, but it kicks off their five-day, week-long residency, essentially, on Letterman, because it all has to do with the big eight-part HBO documentary that comes out on Friday, Sonic Highways. But can't tonight, wait. When you think of Foo Fighters and you think of jamming, you think of Zac Brown Band.
Not first.
Well, first, because it's happening tonight.
Okay.
And if you want to check out an extended trailer just released this morning of Sonic Highways, you can go to the Foo Fighters Twitter as well. They have posted it there. But it's going to be amazing.
I can't imagine, with all these collaborations on this new album that we'll see in the HBO show, what it's going to be like to have Foo Fighters performing with Dolly Parton if she's on their song.
So
I don't know
good.
If...
Yeah,
if
that's it, weird.
No,
I don't know. I
so
mean...
Good.
On this first episode in Chicago that airs on Friday night, he interviews a bunch of people, but only Rick Mielsen from Cheap Trick ends up being on the song. So it's possible he'll interview Dolly, but she won't be in the studio with him. But I just can't even imagine what that would sound like.
I think it would sound like heaven. Right? I would love Dolly Parton so much.
She's pretty amazing.
I often think, a lot of people think, what would Jesus do? I think, what would Dolly do?
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's how I live my life.
Okay.
That's weird. Hey, you guys, Angelina Jolie. We love her. She's amazing. Queen Elizabeth has bestowed upon her honorary dame because of her services to the... Yes,
wow.
Yes. Clap. Go ahead.
And she can't be a real dame because she's not a Brit,
yeah,
right?
She's a U.S. citizen, so it's just a honorary dame. But I mean, when you're bestowed that honor...
That's pretty cool.
That's a good day.
What do you get as a dame, I wonder? I mean,
are
there any... Are there
a
any
lot
perks?
Of Subway sandwiches.
Are there any perks that go along with that, do you think?
I don't think so.
Yeah, like a ring?
Free postage? Something?
Oh, she should be on a stamp. That's something to really think about. This is how my
we'll work
mind
that
works.
Out.
Okay.
We'll work that
yeah.
out.
All right, good times. Speaking of dames, if you were to name Esquire magazine's sexiest woman alive for 2014, what names would come to mind?
Well, Scarlett Johansson's won it several times.
She has. Yeah. She won last year as well.
That's
it. Well, the hottest woman.
Queen, the queen.
The hottest woman
should've.
In the world for me right now,
yes.
Honestly, and I know this is this maybe is not everybody's cup of tea, but Kerry Washington.
Wow.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
She
could not be
hot,
any hotter. When I watch her on Scandal Every Week, I'm astonished at how beautiful she is.
She is stunning. Absolutely stunning. Well, this year, it went to actress Penelope Cruz.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
She's a very beautiful woman.
Yes.
And has been.
Has been for a while. But uh-huh. Her response was, I just feel like a mother who doesn't get enough sleep. Which, when you're the sexiest woman alive, just, no.
Maybe don't share that at that moment.
Don't bring
your job
that
is
up.
To be sexy, Penelope.
Right? Talk about, oh, thanks so much. I'm wearing lingerie right now.
Exactly.
Receiving this award via phone.
I am so naked right now in this interview. That's
exactly.
What you're talking about.
Not, oh, I just fed the kids. I am exhausted.
I didn't get any sleep.
No, that does not work. All right. Kevin?
Yes.
You love yourself some musicals, I understand.
I saw Lost the Musical. I'm not a huge musical fan, however.
You know
that
who
was
is?
Fun.
Lisa May goes
Lisa
to
is,
a lot
yeah.
of theater.
She does.
Tons of theater.
I see her Twitter and I think she has the best social life ever.
I see her Twitter and I go, I would die if I had her social life.
I love it. She's a
but
big
imagine
supporter of the arts.
How great Lisa May must be in bed if her
wow.
boyfriend puts up with going to all those stupid plays.
And he does.
Great point.
All right.
Great
point. Good point.
I say thank you all the time.
Wow.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Wow. Three times?
Three times.
That's good stuff for him. Okay. Well, now we're talking about Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Of course, Neil Patrick Harris was playing the starring role. And then Andrew Rannells, who's amazing, Book of Mormon. He's mm-hmm. phenomenal. But taking over starting this Thursday, which they hope
going to pump up ticket sales because they have been pretty low lately. Dexter's Michael C. Hall.
Well, he's an amazing actor.
Yeah, I'll bet that
I would definitely see it if it wasn't in New York. Because that's, I understand where Broadway is.
It's a long way from here.
That's a long way. And quite frankly, I'm unemployed. Oh, that's sad.
You just said it out loud for the first time?
I just said forgot it about it for a minute,
I totally have forgotten.
And then it came back.
You were talking
boom.
And this feels like work.
Oh,
that's rough.
What? All Never. Right, let's talk about movies, you guys. Because number one, again, second week in a row. I love you so much, Ben Affleck. Gone Girl, bringing in $26.8 million. Dracula Untold, debuting in at $23.5 million, coming in second place. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Third, Annabelle, followed by The Judge, rounding out the top five. Now, I'm not quite sure how you didn't get this from my... Why? Why?
Because we have a clip of Ben Affleck saying that.
Yeah. But
in Pearl Harbor.
It's not who I was going for.
Okay.
It is Nancy Kerrigan's birthday. She is 45. Talk show host Billy Bush, 43. Actress Kate Walsh, she is 47. Actor Matt Walsh, Mike from Veep, no
Love
relation,
him.
50 years old. We've got writer Chris Carter, amazing genius. He is 56. And Kevin's all-time favorite, Paul Simon, he is 73 today. Ralph Garman, hurry on back. We miss you. I'm Allie McKay filling in on the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Allie.
Thank you so much.
It was fun.
Yay!
Ralph will be back
Yay!
Tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Johan from Linkin Park will be here talking about his new movie. Ken Marino, one of our favorites, will be here from Children's Hospital and a lot of other stuff we like. Was it Bean? And a brand new Lightning Strikes talking about how we are all going to die from the Ebola tomorrow morning.